If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and...
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries.
What are you talking about?
So we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
And now...
Shut up, white girl!
Our feature presentation.
Oh my God, it's raining!
Yes, it is.
Morning,
it's,
everybody.
It's scary out there, actually. The roadways are really wet and slippery. It's a mess. The Grapevine, I heard 38 miles closed.
Oh, excellent.
That's what I heard.
Trucks have been stuck for 8 hours.
Good times.
Oh, my God.
I saw some of it on the news. It's snowing like a mother effer up there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
It's rough.
By the way, first of all, God bless Lisa May. I missed her so much.
Right.
Thank you, Bean.
Because Lisa May gives me visual fodder every morning that I think about later in the day, and I didn't have that for the last couple of days because I've been out.
How do you
now
already...
I don't know if I should take my thank you back.
Already gross us out, first thing.
No, meaning I just appreciate her loveliness, that's all.
Thank you.
But I was noticing, Lisa, and it's so funny that you should use the word roadway this morning. I just wrote a post about that on my blog the other day on stronglywordedletter.com. Roadway is a word that is only exclusively 100% used by traffic reporters. There's no actual person who ever refers to it as a roadway. And I just find that so fascinating.
I'm an actual person.
Yeah, that's true.
And I wasn't doing the traffic report. I was just...
No, but
it just
you're
happened.
An actual traffic
just
person
that
is what
That just happened.
I didn't read your blog.
No, she read your blog. She read your blog.
I
and
did.
Thought it would be funny to use the word roadway.
So early. I was going to use it all day.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you were playing a joke on me. I thought it was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's all.
She read it to us yesterday, and we were fascinated by your fascination.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those words that people use on the radio or on the television, but you never, like Kevin, you would never say, well, the roadways were pretty busy today on my way in. It's just not an actual word that people use, and it just struck me as strange that it has survived on the air. That's all.
I will tell you why.
That's 100% true, and yet I would hear that and not think anything about it. I'd just move on.
I think you just need to find new ways to say things. So you can't say freeway every single time.
So you go with
and
roadway.
A lot of times
so
you're
occasionally
not
you'll
about
say
a
there's
too.
Debris right. in the roadway.
Sure.
Right.
So which isn't to me doesn't sound weird. It's not a big deal. It's like saying accident, collision, wreck, crash.
But I think road really covers it. That's all. That's my whole point was that road is fine.
But is the, road, the road the way to anything? Because if it is, maybe roadway is correct.
Road
maybe
weird.
Maybe everyone should be saying roadway. Maybe we should go the other direction.
I'll tell you what's weird. And I hear this, I mean, I don't travel, so I don't know if they do it in other places, but I hear center divide a
center
lot.
Center divide?
Instead of center divider.
Yeah. Have you ever written a letter
why
about that
it,
to anyone?
No, no, but I wonder how that started and why. Center divide.
What was your verdict on highways and byways? Because that one does drive me crazy.
Dumb.
Yeah, nobody does.
Because you do
that.
Hear that often, and that does drive me crazy.
I'll go with you on that one.
I like two cars got together. I like that. That's
what about,
annoying.
What about carbecue for a car fire? Which well, that, I've heard.
You have?
Yes.
Well, never heard that.
That's just traffic reporters trying to be cute.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
don't do
they
that.
Should never try to be cute.
That is exactly what Lisa's describing of you've got to talk about another
right.
goddamn wreck, and you need to figure out a way to try to make it interesting, if not for the listener, then certainly for you.
Yeah, but, exactly.
All right, so you got me with the roadway.
I got you with the roadway.
Yeah, but we do have to have a conversation at a later date about how much that could possibly bug a person.
And how annoyed that guy at that radio station was when he got that stupid letter.
Unless he sees it and goes, yeah, that's a good point.
Nope.
No, there's no
possible.
Way he's thought that.
If I'm that guy that Bean wrote a letter to an AM station because their traffic reporter was using the word roadway, mm-hmm. and he wants
well,
them to stop it.
Well, they all use it all day long, every day. It
right.
Just, gets, and once you notice it, it's like anything else. Once you notice it, it bugs the hell out of you.
And then you need to tell yourself, okay, that's ridiculous that it's bugging the hell out of me. I'm going to not be bothered by that.
But it's funny because you say, I need to find out how much it would bother you to write a letter. You got to understand, I write letters like I drink Coca-Cola. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal to me to sit down and bash out a letter. It's a 5-minute job, and then I feel better, and I feel like that's done. I can check that off my to-do list.
But yeah, but you've just ruined the life of someone else for your little petty problems.
What you don't understand is, unfortunately, probably the people there are like me, where they receive that, and then they go, okay, must work roadway into every traffic report. Because there's one dude who really gets bugged by it.
You blocked my roadway today.
But it is possible, and then we need to move on, it is possible that he'll see that and go, that's a good point. That's a dumb word for us to use all the time because it's not a word that people like.
It doesn't grate to me. Does it to you,
Kevin? No, not
at all. No. I don't think it's that weird a word.
But, I mean, technically you're right. No one says roadway, and it doesn't make it. But I don't care. Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't get bugged by words that are, you know, usage, you know, like Lisa was saying, center divide. I would think, oh, that sounds a little awkward, but really I got other things on my mind.
Well, I didn't write a letter.
And
if
I do too, by
asking.
The way. I just have more things. I have lots of things on my mind. That's the problem. I may care too much. Sometimes you may care too little.
Right.
I think we can agree on that.
I agree on that.
Yes.
Your level of caring, though, is completely inverse. It's an inverse proportion to how important the issue is.
Right.
So if it's a tiny little issue, you care a lot.
Ever write about the war in Iraq, do you?
Right. Huge issue. Don't care.
I have written, in the last year, I've probably written to my senators, I don't know, 2 or 3 times about what I think are important things. Okay. So I think I try to, you know, to respond appropriately.
You do the minuscule and the big.
Yeah, I try to.
Okay.
Try to pay attention.
Well, good for you.
Well, I know at this point already you guys are sorry that jury duty did not last.
Yeah. Well, we were counting on that year trial. What happened?
Oh, I wish. I so wish. Although I see on the schedule that I'll be talking about it later.
Sure. Well, we'd like to hear about it.
But I did they make a point. The judge makes a point of letting you know that if you're not selected to sit on a trial, don't think of it as being rejected. Please don't take it personally. You're being excused is what it is.
They don't want to take up your very valuable time?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
So apparently the state of Washington doesn't appreciate my brand of justice.
Really?
So
what a surprise.
I was not invited to sit in judgment of another basically what I was told yesterday or 2 days ago. Yesterday I didn't get called at all. Yesterday was just sitting around all day waiting to get called to get so I could get rejected from a jury. That didn't even happen yesterday. I just sat all day.
But you got more than I did when I went to jury duty. And by the way, in California, it's only one day, one trial.
Right.
So
that's right.
I didn't even get called. I was sitting in that big room with the pool of everybody and never got called and just got dismissed.
So they did call you and they asked you about your feelings about the Hells Angels?
Yeah. We'll
find. Is that right? Are we going to talk about that more?
Yeah,
we'll talk about
it later.
Later.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later.
Then I want to hear.
Also,
but
it was
great fun. It really was. And if I could go back today, I would.
Great fun.
Well, sure, you
it
said.
It really was.
Texted Alex all morning.
Yeah,
it was exhilarating. I texted Alex so much, my phone died. My phone was out by like 2.
What could be more fun than that? Sitting and texting. Dave would have been in heaven.
Yeah,
he would have loved it.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 24th of January. Didn't have that sound effect for 2 days. That was nice.
We had to do it ourselves.
So we're gonna hear about Bean's jury duty.
Okay.
We got Aisha Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be in the studio.
She, by the way, I shouldn't say this because Kevin will try to embarrass me with it later, is among my 10 favorite women in the world today. Of, you know, celebrity hot chicks that you love.
Wow.
She's in my
10
top 10.
Favorite. Nice.
She is in my top 10. I love her so. Well, you know, I love the dark chocolate anyway, but she's so smart, so funny, so talented, and so will be mine.
Where do you stand on the light chocolate, the milk chocolate? Where do you stand on that? Or is it just dark?
No, okay. Love it.
All shades of chocolate.
All shades of chocolate.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good band.
All shades of chocolate. We have Gene Simmons on the program today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking about Celebrity Apprentice. He got fired last week.
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. And by the way, no one deserves to be fired more than Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
No kidding.
He apparently, I didn't see the episode, but apparently he didn't leave Donald Trump an option.
He didn't.
He had to have been sabotaging it so he could quit.
Gene's a guy who likes to do things his way.
Yeah.
He's used to being the boss. And that's what we said when he got hired on this show. We said Gene Simmons isn't going to take direction from anybody. He's the guy who wants to run the world.
American Idol highlights from last night. Ralph's got those.
Oh, the show's so good.
Moment of Truth was on last night. I brought in highlights of that.
Haven't seen that yet.
Oh, that's the one with the lie detector test.
Yes.
and they ask the contestant questions, and then they have the computerized woman say whether it's true or not based on the lie detector test.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing that all game shows do, and that's this.
That answer is...
What? It's what? What is it?
True.
There you go.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding at all.
Every answer, they wait that long?
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
I'm writing a letter today, believe me.
Oh, dear God.
I'll sign it.
What are you talking about? Just because of that, you mean?
That's so annoying.
It's just tension. It just builds tension. I love that show, though. That's a wow.
Well, I'm going to have to watch on TiVo so I can fast forward through the pauses.
Yeah, you would need to do that. Yeah. That would probably help. And, Bean, you didn't hear yesterday. We talked to Doto about him having a weapon.
Yeah.
I heard Mr. Toe has gone bye-bye.
We're all scared of Mr. Toe.
Right.
And I believe we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Dude, he's serious. He really does have a gun?
I think he does.
Does a 45 do a lot of damage? Kevin and Bean, he said.
I think it would hurt. I like, feel it.
He said, Second Amendment. We said, we know, but really.
We know you're allowed to have a gun. It doesn't mean you should have a gun.
That's not for everyone. So right. We might need to cut the umbilical cord here between us and him.
I don't think that's
a
bad idea.
Dare we?
That's a good question. But we'll give you some highlights of that coming up just after the top of the hour.
Looking forward to that.
Oh, dear God. And we'll continue to qualify you for K-Rock's World Tour number 3, Jack Johnson in Australia. You get tickets for Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, and you qualify for that drawing to go to Australia to see Jack Johnson.
Nice.
Take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:49.
So what's all this Jack Johnson and Australia nonsense? That's new to me. What's going on?
That's the world tour.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's the world tour. He's going to be playing Coachella, so we give tickets out for that. Tickets for that, by the way, go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
All right, Coachella. Love it.
Jack Johnson is the best. I can't wait for his new album coming out on February 5th. It's 5:48 Thursday morning in the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, Bean Baxter.
Ralph really missed you, Bean, if I can speak on his behalf.
For 2 days, we were strongly worded letter-free.
Yeah,
there was a lot of love
happy.
In the room. There wasn't too much yelling or gnashing of teeth. And first thing out of the gate this morning, why do people say word ways? And I just wanted to hang myself in the men's room rather than come in this room.
Is that all you think?
Nope, just wanted to hang myself.
Okay. All right.
You make me feel welcome. I'm glad
to be hanged back? Until dead.
Wow.
I was whistling in 7-Eleven this morning, pouring myself a cup of coffee. I was like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, wait a minute. Jury duty's over.
Well,
how
nobody
are you
says
come
roadway
at me like that.
No so, one uses the word roadway.
So I filled my coffee cup with Drano.
Oh,
I'm just gulping it down.
That
just
hurts.
Waiting for sweet, sweet release. Till I'd be rooming with Heath Ledger.
Oh, come on. Too soon.
Bean says too soon.
Oh. Although I understand the K-Rock microphones were there.
No, they were not there.
I heard they were.
They
were there.
They're not there.
Mike, were they there or were they not there?
Well, they were there. But I don't know that we have the audio just quite yet.
I see.
Although the listeners have created quite a library and have sent them to us.
I'm sure they have.
We're disappointing a great group of our listeners.
Listeners have less class than we do, yes. Believe it or not.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, this needs more Drano. Trying to get it to kick in. I know we'll talk about this later, but I couldn't resist it because I heard you guys talking about it a little bit this morning. How did Fox take the greatest concept ever for a game show and completely F it up?
I liked it.
It was unwatchable.
Is it because of the enormous pauses?
Oh, Lisa, you have no idea.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg, the host, they force him to ask a question before every question that he asks.
Oh.
So there's a lot of small talk. So he's talking to me and he goes, so, do you think you're a trustworthy person?
Oh, God.
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's a setup if I ever heard it, by the way.
Have you ever killed somebody with a knife and then hid the evidence?
Yes, Kevin Abbey.
And then the guy waits and waits. Yes.
He waits as long as she does, by the way.
The answer is... It took him 20 minutes to get three questions out. He was screaming at the television. And the problem is, each question is... worth increasingly more. Mm-hmm. So the first question, it's like, remember when you used to watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes.
And the first
the question
was question
like, in the, world.
The sky is A, blue, C, magenta, and they, you know, come on with the $100 questions. I don't have this kind of time.
Yeah, true.
The first question's on Live Tech Tuesday. Are you sitting down? Yes.
The game doesn't move.
The answer is...
If that's what you're saying.
Okay, I'm out. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it.
Effing brutal.
But.
That pisses me off.
But how hot was that dude's wife?
How hot was she?
How hot was the girl, his friend, sitting next to her? I wanted to get to the $1 million question, so the question would be, have you ever effed your smoking hot friend?
Yeah, true.
And ask him that right in front of his wife who was sitting there.
That was an impressive combo.
I was bringing in clips, and I was watching, and I thought, well, I need to watch the whole thing through so I can see which of the three or four contestants... is really the most interesting.
God
and then
I realized
they were only going to get through one, right. So it wasn't that hard.
They only did one.
They started a second. That's yeah. it.
Oh.
Yeah, it took forever.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kind of with Ralph on this. I saw the first half hour, and then it was just too tedious to sit through the rest.
It's like walking in wet sand. Mm. It's just a nightmare. And it's the greatest idea ever. You don't need the fake drama, people. You don't need to build it up. The questions is the interesting part. And when he answers, then the drama's over. Just get to it. Freaking Fox.
Yeah, I like that show.
It's horrible. And I'm so looking
Kevin
forward
to it.
Kevin
who can't watch a slow movie.
It's not, I know.
It's well, not, what the hell?
It's not horrible, Ralph, except for the slowness, right? Is that it?
No, I'm telling you, the premise
is great.
The execution makes it unwatchable. It needs to be completely revamped.
I liked it. By the way, his wife was smoking hot.
See, in contrast, he's blinded by
I
hot.
Was flipping around last night and landed on Deal or No Deal, which I haven't watched in a while.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That show, every second of it is fascinating and involving. You can't turn away.
It moves fast.
Howie Mandel, great host, and everything that happens on that show from the first decision the person makes means something.
Yeah.
That's what keeps you involved. Moment of Truth is just as bad as that is good.
Wow.
I can't agree with you there.
You're so wrong. I wish Mark Wahlberg was coming in today and I could punch him right in his face.
This wouldn't be the first time I was so wrong.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
All right.
Preliminary autopsy report on Heath Ledger is inconclusive, say authorities, so the cause of death remains unknown. A lot of the tabloids are trying to jump to the suicide angle, but authorities in New York City are saying there's just no evidence to support that as of yet. A complete toxicology report can take 4 to 8 weeks to come back. But they may rush this one to try to put it to rest. So we're still talking about 2 weeks until we know anything more.
Might there be some clue as to what happened with the K-Rock microphones being there, Ralph?
No.
The K-Rock microphones were there yesterday, by the way, Bean, but that were turned
First
down.
First break yesterday.
The preliminary autopsy generally means that the medical examiner finds no sign of, let's say, organ failure or trauma to the body. So they know it probably wasn't a heart attack or a blunt force trauma to the head or something like that.
But no test for drugs or anything else in the system
Well,
yet.
They do. They take the test, but the tests take weeks to conclude. Right. So we have no idea really what's going on. Here's the disturbing detail, though. The housekeeper arrived at the apartment he was in to do her cleaning up at around 12:30 p.m. Around 1 p.m., she says she went into the bedroom to change a light bulb in the bathroom and found him face down with a blanket pulled up to his shoulders, snoring, sleeping. He was pronounced dead at 3:36 p.m. So if she had disturbed him or woken him up, there's odds are he could have lived. Because when they went back in, they found him on the floor naked. Apparently he tried to get out of bed or struggled or something and then died on the floor next to the bed. But when she went in just hours earlier, he was snoring, sleeping soundly in the bed.
So you're saying it's her fault?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably illegal, is what I'm guessing. And more details. I know, of course, we know that The Dark Knight, the new Batman movie, is his last completed film. But Heath Ledger was in the middle of filming a movie when he died.
Yeah.
Director Terry Gilliam was working on a film called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. That Terry Gilliam, by the way, is honked up.
Is he? He is.
Anyway, they don't know what to do now. There's still big scenes left to shoot with Heath Ledger's character, and they don't know whether they're going to have to shoot it around him or reshoot or replace him or shut down the movie completely. And it's an independent film. They don't have a big budget, so they're struggling now with what they're going to do. So here we go. Here's the interesting, another thing about the kind of funny thing about the death. Google says that, obviously, the number one name that was Googled in the past 2 days has been Heath Ledger. The number two name... Keith Ledger. Yeah, I'm guessing that's Kevin's people. Dude, did you hear Keith Ledger died? I went on the internet. I couldn't find anything. What happened to Keith? Poor Keith. He was talented. Turns out there is a dude named Keith Ledger who was one of the designers of the video game Warzone 2100. And,
but that's not what they meant.
He's getting a lot of interest about his death.
I imagine.
But Keith Ledger is still alive, by the way. There you go. Britney Spears is the best. She went to the courthouse yesterday to ask Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, Commissioner.
I've just heard from Chief O'Hara that the archer, that rapacious rapscallion, has returned to taunt the good people of Gotham City.
Yes, and he robbed the home of millionaire Bruce Wayne.
How did you know about that, Batman?
It's my business to know. Well, come right in. The Batpoles.
Yes.
Maybe not that Commissioner Gordon. Mm. She asked him, she was going to ask him if she could get visitation that was supervised by a healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm. Call it therapy if you
therapeutic
want.
Setting. That's sure. What she got to the courthouse, but never made it into the courtroom.
What happened?
They don't know. She got to the premises, then disappeared, and never showed up in the courtroom.
Well, that's enough, isn't it?
Commissioner Gordon didn't think that was enough.
Not a big fan?
No. So bottom line is she's not going to see her kids until she complies with a court order to get a complete psych evaluation, which as of yesterday she has refused to do.
Yeah.
Ah. So we'll see what happens there. And here's a great story. Tony Romo apparently is getting tired of Jessica Simpson.
Really? What a surprise.
And dealing with her father, Joe Simpson. Mm-hmm. So OK Magazine claims insiders told them that he tried to break up with her on January the 17th.
Right.
And hoped they could stay friends.
Sure.
But she refused to let the relationship end.
Was the 17th before or after the game?
It was after the game.
After the game. But she refused. She said no.
To let him break up
with
her.
You have to go out with me more.
I would love to do a call-in topic of people who would not, you know, you try to break up with someone and they just wouldn't let you do it. I bet it happens all the time.
Yeah. It does.
I have a very, very scary, sincere case of that about 2 years ago. Where a girl was visiting me for, I went to college on the East Coast.
Right.
She was my girlfriend out there, came to live with us for the summer in
What'd
LA.
What could go wrong there?
And about halfway through, I mean, I realized it wasn't going to work out, and she just wouldn't buy a plane ticket back to Philly.
It just wasn't.
Like, she was just here in LA, and I couldn't do anything.
That's funny.
She wouldn't leave.
You have her killed?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she wouldn't let that happen. No, you're not breaking up with me.
Uh-uh.
Where are we going for dinner?
It is weird when you break up with someone that somehow you are kind of asking for permission
yeah.
in a
Can
way.
Can I please leave you?
And,
yeah.
No. And then when they say no, it's quite baffling what to do.
It is.
Yeah.
And even a better story comes out of Star Magazine that Joe Simpson is trying to convince Tony to sing a duet with Jessica.
Oh, please do it.
I want that more than anything.
Me too.
He says it would be great publicity for Jessica and for Tony, and he's trying to convince them to sing a duet together.
It's top-notch gay.
Did she ever sing a duet with John Mayer?
I don't believe so.
I don't think he was.
I think he was like, no
I don't
way.
Think he was dumb enough.
Wasn't that more reasonable of a request?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that would be awesome.
By the way, if you're interested, there's a very funny video on YouTube now called The Downfall of the Dallas Cowboys, which is a German-speaking film about the fall of the Third Reich with Adolf Hitler. And it's Hitler in the bunker talking to all of his minions around him.
Right.
But it's all in German. And someone has gone in and rewritten the subtitles talking about how upset he is that the Dallas Cowboys didn't make it further in the playoffs.
The Downfall of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes. It's very awesome. Entertaining watching their biggest fan, Hitler, complaining about the fact he just bought a T.O. Right. jersey and he hasn't been able to wear it yet. So it's very, very
You've seen the 6-second recap of their season?
No.
That's funny, too, yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
6 seconds. It just shows clip, 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 interception, done.
That's very funny. In about an hour, every time now, but we'll get to the bottom of this whole Cloverfield thing. What's the soundbite at the end of the credits that everyone's talking about? We've isolated that. We'll play it forwards and backwards for
you. Oh, good. I did stick around for that. I did hear that.
I didn't know it was there and didn't.
I didn't know it either.
I didn't know it was there either.
Yeah.
Then why did you stick around for it?
Because you sometimes it happens. These days, it's not uncommon to have something after the credits, and I just stick around just to make sure I don't miss it, because I don't have to go back and see the movie again.
I try to size the movie up and think, is this the type of movie that I should have thought with J.J. there could be?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I didn't think anything about it.
Did you
By the way, the credits are like 20 minutes long, too. It's an investment.
Not worth it for me. No matter what happens at the end of the movie, just not worth it for me to sit there for 20 minutes.
Sometimes, though,
if it's really, if it's that freaking important, they'll put it in the movie.
They'll put that's it on YouTube at. Or whatever,
now,
too.
Yeah, ordinarily would agree, yeah, YouTube's a great idea. I would ordinarily agree with you, but remember the last X-Men movie. I mean, that was a significant plot point.
Oh, that's right.
That happened at the end of the credits on that, and I was really glad I stuck around for it, so I just make it my habit.
Only if they make another one, which it doesn't look like they are, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, maybe right.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Neil Diamond. Sweet Caroline. He's 67 years old today. Matthew Lillard, our friend who played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies and also was in Scream, 38 years old today. Tatiana Ali, who played Ashley on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She was so hot. 29 years old today. Misha Barton, speaking of hot.
Yeah.
22 years old today. And Ernest Borgnine. Oh, Ernie. I love me some Ernie Borgnine.
I don't think Ernie gets a bell.
Come on.
That is one ugly man.
He was Mikhail. He ran a whole navy.
One.
He had his own navy.
Was he the ugliest human being to ever live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar,
Why do you hate the military, Kevin?
Yeah.
Why do you hate our men and women in uniform?
I don't
protect
know that
our liberties.
I don't know that that was the military.
He won an Oscar for a movie called Marty, where he says to his mother constantly, "Mom, I'm a fat, ugly little man."
So true.
It is very, very true. He's got a new movie coming out, believe it or not. 91, he's got a new movie coming out.
Really?
With Steve Zahn and Jonah Hill and Justin Long, that Strange Wilderness movie.
Really?
Yeah, he's in that. So Ernie's still working.
Does he play fatter and older?
I believe he does.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Moment of Truth. The problem with the show is this.
That answer is... True.
Okay, that's the problem. There's
but
a lot of that.
They only do that for like the final question, right?
No, they do it for every question.
Every.
And there's also that much time between the question and his response, and then that much time for the answer. But this
it's a 1 hour show that you could edit down to about 8 minutes.
Yes. But this is the way to listen to it because I have clips and I edited them much shorter so you can hear the questions and the answers.
Thank you, Kevin.
The dude is Ty. He's a personal trainer, and his wife is smoking hot.
Holy crap, is she hot?
Tatia is just a supermodel, like a European looking supermodel.
Okay.
And so he's got her best friend, who's also a hot chick, and a dude that's there with him. He's a personal trainer. And you have to answer questions truthfully. He took a lie detector test before the show. You can win up to, I think it's $500,000 if you answer all of them correct, right?
Okay.
So they ask questions like, have you ever admired yourself in the mirror after taking a shower? You know, it kind of embarrassing stuff like that. And then they work their way into the more embarrassing stuff. The stuff that's not quite as easy to answer. And Tatia, his wife, is sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the questions after he's won $10,000, is working toward $25,000.
Is there something you have done that could cause Katya not to trust you?
Okay, so now it's getting a lot more serious. Have you done anything that should make her not trust you?
Oof.
And he has to tell the truth or he loses every penny that he's won so far.
Okay.
It's a little bit cringeworthy, by the way, to see what people are willing to do, the embarrassment they're willing to put themselves and their family through for money.
Yes.
That answer is true.
Yeah. And then they applaud. That's my other favorite thing is they applaud. Yes, he's done something that should make her not. Oh, wait. Trust him. So he answers that one correct. Then they ask this question.
Since you've been married, have you used the internet to flirt with other women?
Look at the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
Gladiator match.
He says no.
No.
That answer is true.
Okay, but seriously, shouldn't they take the internet away from that guy? That guy doesn't deserve internet access. He shouldn't be allowed to have an email account. Come on.
So they have the friends and family there, and they're kind of giving some response to him, and they can hit a button if they don't want to hear the answer, and he'll move on one time.
Oh, you're kidding.
One time. So you don't want to use it too soon because the answers get, you know, worse as it goes on.
Okay.
So they ask him this.
Do you think you've delayed having children because you're not sure if Katya will be your lifelong partner?
Okay, good. She's sitting right there. Have you not
this
had kids?
His wife of, what, 2 years or something like that.
Because you're afraid she might not be your lifelong partner.
He knows he's
going to
be married to you forever.
Okay, that's best friend. He knows he's going to be married to you forever.
Sure.
You don't need to hit the
button. Don't even worry about that.
No problem.
The answer is yes.
That answer is true.
Okay, again, so I have to ask, is it worth 10? This guy's,
no.
I mean, he's not on Skid Row. The guy's making a living as a personal trainer. Is it worth $10,000 for the drive home with your wife when you've just announced to the world that you don't plan on staying married to her or aren't sure if you will? Come
you've done things that she shouldn't trust you for.
Sure.
And
oh, but come on, everyone has, haven't they?
I guess, but,
yes. Nope.
But the question is it worth this much money?
Yeah.
So then are you putting off having kids because she's not the one for you? Then you
that's
know,
brutal.
Now you're really kind of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And then he's past $25,000 now.
Okay.
He can quit any time and take it home. Or as soon as the question's asked, he has to give an answer and it has to be correct or he loses everything.
Oh, my gosh.
So then they ask this.
As a personal trainer, have you touched a female client more than was required of you?
Nice. More than nice. Was required of you. This is the real time one. Just to give you an idea how long it is.
No.
Excellent.
That answer is
no, that's what his wife wants to hear. Yes? Touched a female client, just a reminder.
I forgot.
False.
Oh! No!
His best friend. No!
That question is also kind of open to interpretation, I think.
Yeah.
Mike?
Because I'm sure, you know, Mike is a trainer. I'm sure sometimes you touch him and it's not inappropriate, but it's also not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you could train someone completely without ever touching them.
Right, or you could help them lift their legs or whatever you need to do. I
mean,
that's kind of arguable.
If you touch them, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I don't really train that many hot chicks. So. Mm-hmm.
But imagine the 1, 2, 3 of you shouldn't trust me, I don't think I'm going to be with you forever, and I touch female clients more than I have to. And that last question means he lost all $25,000. He gets nothing.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Let's talk about Bean. Yesterday and his jury duty.
Yes, I want to hear everything.
Tuesday and Wednesday, in the state of Washington, it's a 2-day or 1 trial minimum. So when you get called for one day, you're back for the next day, too. And it was the greatest experience of my – I think it was the highlight of my adult life. If I could go back today, I would. I'm now praying for the next summons that arrives. Because now that I'm on the list, even though this is the first time I've ever been called in my whole life, now that I've been in the system, I'm hoping that means I'll get called frequently.
Here's the thing about Bean that you need to understand. If you – hate something because it's tedious or boring or what, he will love it just the opposite amount. So
yeah,
most people try desperately to get out of jury duty. Bean loved his experience and wasn't even on a jury, if I'm right.
Yes, you are right.
Wasn't even on a jury. How did he love it?
What is there to love? You sat in a room for 2 days.
Is there anything that I could do in my miserable little inconsequential life that would make more impact or would be more important than being able to sit on a jury and participate in the justice system?
Apparently the justice system didn't see it that way.
No, they didn't. real quick, I wrote all about this in greater detail on stronglywordedletter.com if you care and you want to check it out. But the synopsis is I showed up at 8 o'clock at the King County Superior Court building Tuesday morning, and I was really surprised how many jurors they use per day. There were about 200 of us.
Right.
And, you know, you sign some papers and you fill in. Basically, you're just sitting around and they show you a video that tells you a little bit about the jury system, and then they start – eventually, throughout the day, as jury pools are needed, they start calling out names. So the first batch of 35 names that they called out, I was not on. The second batch, they did call my name. So I got all excited. I went up and turned in my paperwork, and they handed everybody who was called in that second batch of 35, they handed out a sheet that they wanted you to fill out. This is additional questions beyond just regular ready to serve. They wanted to know your specific feelings, in this case, about the Hell's Angels motorcycle gangs.
They do good work.
This is an early, before you even get into the courtroom, this is an early way for them to see if you have any existing bias against motorcycles, for instance, or if you are a motorcycle rider yourself. I mean, they're finding out answers because obviously that trial involved a motorcycle.
I think it's more important what you think about the rider than the motorcycle in this particular case. It's Hell's Angels.
Well, no matter how you felt, I hope that you filled it out in a way that they would call you.
Of course you did. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I filled it out honestly, to tell you the truth. And, you know, they would ask, what do you know about the Hells Angels, for instance? And I listed a couple of things that I knew about it. I don't think I know any more or any less than most people. But anyway, so I'm excited about that. Now I'm going to get on a trial and, you know, it's going to be, you know, some motorcycle gang case. Mm-hmm. And then they called just my name alone. Please come up to the counter.
Really?
By myself, out of 200 people. And I walked up and they said, you're not the guy we're looking for. There's another guy here with your same first and last name. He's the one who's in jury pool number two to be on the motorcycle case.
No way.
And I'm like,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went so far out of their way to lie to you to get you off of the jury.
There was another dude there, same first and last, so they coordinated middle names and realized I wasn't the guy. So I went and sat back down in the pool. And then about another hour after that goes by, and then they call for jurors for pool number three. And my name is called again. I'm juror number seven. And sure enough, I'm the guy they're looking for this time. And they take us upstairs to the seventh floor into the courtroom. And that's where I really kind of get to see the process in action. And the judge comes on and explains what's going to be expected and what's going to be happening. And then they do the deal that you see on TV sometimes or in movies sometimes, where the lawyers get up and start asking questions of the jurors as they try to select who they think would be, you know, most amenable to their interpretation of the facts in the case.
That's what you loved. See, I never got that far, so I didn't love it at all.
Yeah, I got that far, but you're juror number seven, so you actually got to get seated in the jury box, right?
Yes, I was actually in the jury box 5 feet from the judge. It was so cool, too.
Until the trial started.
So there's – I wouldn't know. So there's 40 of us, and they go around the room and they ask a few basic questions about everybody. What's your news source, and you know, what groups do you belong to, and that sort of thing.
Oh, my God. What's your news source 20 minutes later?
Are you honestly a fan-a-lo, Mr. Baxter? You're out. Excuse.
And then they did the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney, who, by the way, both very attractive young women. The attorney for the state looked just like Maggie Grace from Lost. Remember Shannon on Lost? I'm thinking, please let me on this trial. Please let me on this trial. So they start kind of a discussion basically about juries and about how you can tell if somebody's telling the truth and about is there any way to know what's in somebody's mind? I mean, they're basically – they know what the evidence is that they're going to be presenting. So they're asking all these questions to see how logical you are. And I think my fault was – I think the reason I didn't get picked, I wasn't one of the 13 that they chose, is I don't think I spoke up enough. I think I was trying to play it too under the radar, because I noticed that a lot of the people who got picked – were the people who talked a lot during that hour or whatever that we had that discussion.
Did you say, my feeling on the case is whatever that hot chick right there feels? The prosecution or the defense, I don't care. I can be bought.
The guy next to me, by the way, who was clearly Arab and shouldn't have been on a jury.
Because he can't be American?
Right.
Wow.
He had been on three previous juries and had been a foreman on all three previous juries. So the guy knows the system. He totally knew what to do to get on the jury.
And has been a good juror, apparently.
Apparently so. Apparently they liked him. So it's just – it's so deflating, though, because you're one of 40, and then they come in and they announce the numbers of the people who are going to actually get to be on the jury. And this would have been a perfect case, by the way. It was a check fraud case.
Right.
It was only going to be a one-day trial, and then it would go to jury. I mean, talk about a way to see it all in a short amount of time, right? And the guy clearly was guilty, by the way. You can tell just by looking at him.
Sure, of course.
But when they come out and then they tell you who's on the jury, you know, they make it clear to you that it's not a reflection on you as a person. It doesn't mean that you couldn't have been a good juror. It's just for whatever reason. And sometimes there's no reason at all. They didn't use you for this particular
trial.
That's
what they tell everyone, B.
Yeah, but you know, they didn't pick you.
If there were any
there
people
was a reason.
If there were any people in that court that hated you, they would have told you the same thing, though. They would have said, oh, it's no reflection on you.
Yeah.
I was not one of the 13, and then I had to go and sit back. Like, it's not humiliating enough to be rejected. Then you have to go back downstairs and sit again to see if you're going to get picked for the next one. And, of course, I wasn't. And then end of day one. Day two, I went back, spent all day in that room downstairs, never got called.
Good
so
times.
My one shot to get
out.
On a –
the word got out.
Well, maybe so.
That giant dork, let him sit. Don't even bring him into the court.
So my whole life, I've been wanting to get on a jury, and basically it was just an exercise in rejection and futility.
You're in the desert, you just want a sip of water.
Basically, L-O-S-E-R. That's what I figured out I am. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I want to talk about Saturday. If you're not doing anything, come down and join me, Lisa May, Psycho Mike, Dave the King of Mexico, assistant producer Alex, DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan. Saturday, Saturday!
We're going to be at the Microbrew Festival at Santa Anita Racetrack, one of our favorite events of the year. The gates open at 10 a.m. It's only $5 to get in. There'll be 10 live thoroughbred races that you can gamble on and over 60 different kinds of beer that you can sample.
Wicked cool, yeah?
I'm going to try this this Saturday to try each and every one of them.
Oh, good.
That's my goal.
Good for
excellent.
You.
Just by
60 small little tiny beers.
Yeah, they're
by
tiny. Noon?
They're tiny.
It'll be
barely
fine.
Barely even taste them. It's always a great time. We're going to have live music by a band called Outlet. We'll also be there. And you get a free beach towel. Come on. For God's sakes, what more do you want?
I'm dangerously dry.
Not to mention the Frank's Energy Drink Yodeling Contest.
I'm sorry?
Okay.
Frank's Energy Drink is going to have a yodeling contest. Okay. It just keeps getting better.
Wow, holding back the lead, Ralph.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bury the lead there. But,
that has everything.
You need to sample before you yodel, by the way.
How is Kevin going to hurt somebody with a beach towel, though? That doesn't seem like a good enough weapon.
Once again, Kevin has been banned from the event. Yeah, he could strangle
them. Oh, that's right.
Them.
He's not allowed.
I don't believe I'm allowed.
He could twist it around, sure. Make it long and thin, and then just garrot them.
I don't know that word.
You know when they use the wire around your neck?
Put a wire around your neck.
Ah, yes.
Choke
is the word I use.
Sandita is in Arcadia, which is just east of Pasadena. You can get there from the 210 or the 10 freeway. So come on out and join us Saturday. Saturday, Saturday.
I'm all about Saturday, the vagina.
Saturday.
I'm all about overload. The vagina.
Heath Ledger. We still don't know what happened in his death, according to authorities in New York City. They did a preliminary autopsy, which showed no signs of organ failure or dramatic trauma to the body. But all that remains now is the toxicology report. This could take from 4 to 8 weeks to come back, but it looks like they're going to try to rush this one in order to put this case to rest. So in about 2 weeks, we should have some idea what was in his system.
Why are we ignoring the main piece of evidence, which is the K-Rock microphones, which were there?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
Now, if you want to do it, Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Kevin.
Dean.
Kevin.
And Kevin.
Kevin brings you this from Kevin. Here's what Kevin wants to play. Here's Kevin.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a species spicy sausage. Oh, Heath?
There you go. You feel better now you got that out of your system?
Can't believe you played that, Bean.
Feel better you got that out of your system, Kevin?
Oh, here we go.
That is an abuse of the airwaves.
28-year-old actor with his small daughter and his whole life in front of him. Mm-hmm. You happy now that's out of your system, Kevin?
Stupid bean.
Feel better.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
How proud you must feel right now. Good times?
Kevin.
Bean.
Everyone feeling good? I know I am. I just got a warm fuzzy.
Excellent.
Let's talk about happier news, shall we?
Okay.
Hayden Panettiere is selling her clothes. All right now.
What the hell?
What happened? I recommend to you that you check out PanettiereCloset.com, where Hayden is selling the clothes off her back to support the Save the Whales Again campaign, trying to raise money.
With the whales again.
Trying to raise money for that worthy cause by selling her hats, her dresses, her hoodies, her outerwear, her shirts, her shoes, her watches, her bottoms.
Wow. That's so hot. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the bottoms. Oh, the sweet bottoms. The sweet, sweet bottoms.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
We're still there.
Come back.
Hands off the bottoms, by the way. They're mine. I got my bids in already on the bottoms.
Going
to make me some soup.
Down the hammer of... Oh, jeez. You're going to bring down the hammer of hell on the country of Japan for their whaling policies. How's that going?
Well, I gotta take out Calabasas first, and then Japan's on my list.
The battle is closer.
Places to start wars with. But, yeah, they're effed up over there in Japan. Seriously. Not only do they sneak attack you when you're sleeping, but then they kill all the whales.
Long time ago. Not
nice
all of
work.
Them. Just
nice
a few
work.
People.
That's how they are.
Just as many as they can find. You're right. Not all of them. Just as many as they can
come across.
No, but
I'm saying a few people are doing all the killing. Not everyone.
I think they are. I think it's a
big... Now Kevin's defending war crimes. Last year he hates the U.S. military. Now he's defending foreign war criminals.
So you're taking glee in the death of Heath Ledger.
Not at all, no.
You're,
that was Bean.
Forcing the murder of our most majestic marine mammals.
I'm just saying most people in Japan aren't doing any killing of whales.
And but then they eat them.
You hate the Navy. Okay.
So what are you
talking
about? God damn it.
Why? We know where you stand. Are you like Bean? Did you sit all the way through the 20-minute credits at the end of Cloverfield to hear the mysterious soundbite?
No.
Me neither.
I missed
only
that.
Bean did.
I didn't
that.
Know
Bean's
there was
the only
a
guy who did that.
Soundbite.
But apparently at the end of the credits, everyone is buzzing about this little soundbite they play, which sounds as if it comes off the tape that we've just watched. Of Rob and his girlfriend Beth running from the evil Cloverfield creature. And the sound that you get at the end of the movie is this little soundbite.
which is supposed to be help us. Help us, as if they're buried under rubble. Help
us.
However, I don't know who decided to do this. If you take that and you reverse it, this is what it says. It's still alive.
Wow.
It's still alive.
Somebody who knows J.J. Abrams turned it around and tried to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still alive. Oh, dude.
Still alive.
That's not good news for New Yorkers.
But good news if you're looking for Cloverfield, too.
Yeah.
I think that is good news.
True.
So apparently that's the buzz. If you had any chance to hear it, I wanted to bring that to you so you had idea what people are talking about.
If you happen to be in New York and you see a monster, can you please hold your video camera firmly?
No kidding.
Do not shake it.
I haven't been here this week. This being I was on jury duty, so I missed the discussion of Cloverfield. But I'd like to now do my impression of HUD, who filmed most of the movie of Cloverfield. May I do that for you, please?
Sure. Sure.
Rob, no Rob, Rob, hey Rob, hey Rob, 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 yeah. Hey wait Rob, and cut.
She was clearly in love with Rob.
He sure was.
His best buddy.
You don't continue following Rob in that case.
He was his best buddy.
Hey, sayonara, best buddy. I'm going the other way.
Plus, I think Hud's a little Eli Manning. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
A little touched?
A little touch.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Somebody, you know, by the way, people, yes, I love this movie, but stop complaining to me if you didn't like it. I get an angry email. Yeah, you like that? What about that shaky camera? What about this point in the plot? Look, I didn't make the movie, okay? I just liked it. I have no responsibility for what they put on the screen. If you don't like it, complain to J.J. Abrams or somebody else.
I don't want to hear it.
I liked it, too.
Go ahead.
I loved it.
I think that's the best thing you could do.
Why didn't they just put the camera down and run? Well, that'd be a hell of a movie, wouldn't it?
Feet going by.
Just the camera sitting on the counter at the party when everyone leaves the room isn't nearly as exciting, I think, as following them around New York City.
Although it wouldn't have been a shaky.
That's true. It would have just been, yes.
A good, solid picture.
There you go. Oh, out of time again. I got so much good showbiz news to talk about. We'll talk about in the next hour. Radiohead. Radiohead news.
Oh, good.
Some TV news about some shows are being canceled and some being brought back. And a really cool list of the 10 best movie weapons of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Movie weapons.
Is a very cool list. I guarantee you're going to like it. So come on back in an hour. I mean, stay for the whole show.
Right.
But if you have to go do something, let's say you've had your morning coffee and cigarette, and your insides are starting to burl. They're starting to burl. You go, oh, I got to get something loose out of there. Go do that. And then come back after you're all done. Don't forget to wipe.
Oh.
I'm just trying to be helpful. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Ontkean. Remember him? He played Sheriff Harry S. Truman on Twin Peaks?
Not really.
He played the sheriff.
Yeah, I don't really.
Good man, that Harry!
That wasn't him.
That was David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Character,
yeah.
He was the sheriff!
I know, but in a 1990 series.
McLaughlin was Agent Cooper.
How long do we have to go
the
with
sheriff?
This?
Until you remember that he was the sheriff.
All right, he was the sheriff. All right.
But didn't it seem like he would have been primed for, I mean, good-looking guy, good actor?
Yeah.
I thought a career was coming his way after Twin Peaks.
Me too.
He pretty much fell off the face of the earth after that series.
Pretty much it. 62 years old today. Matthew Lillard from Shaggy and Scream, Scooby-Doo. He is 38 years old today. Misha Barton from The O.C. turns 22. Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air turns 29. And Neil Diamond, the legend. Legendary singer Neil Diamond, who I just saw in concert last year. Just went.
He's phenomenal, isn't he, Ralph?
Sat right next to Jimmy Kimmel. It's a couple rows away from me.
Yeah, he loves him.
I said, this is sweet. Me and Kimmel watching Neil Diamond. Doesn't get any better than this. He's 67.
I hope it does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday nights at 10 o'clock on the VH1 is a program called Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. Let me tell you something about Dr. Drew. I'm flipping around on the TV the other day, and he's on two of my television channels at the same time.
What?
That's how much Dr. Drew was going on. I think he was on CNN Live, and they were showing some tape piece on the Today Show or something. I don't remember how it worked. But Dr. Drew, you're everywhere, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Kevin Beach Show.
Thank you. My pleasure. Just, I've been on the sort of the campaign trail lately, and it's I had a butt full of it. Thank you.
I imagine.
How did Danny Bonaducci not end up on Celebrity Rehab?
He wasn't actively using at the time.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But Mike, who, by the way, hastened my step to get over here today when I heard him screaming like somebody was garroting him or something.
That's just normal.
I couldn't.
Scared Dr. He's like, I got to go in there and see what's going on.
I got to get that man. Something's wrong with him. Is it okay? It says Hayden Panettiere and the guy's.
Oh, yeah, that yell.
Oh,
yeah.
He goes into convulsions. Well,
he really did.
The clothes are for sale.
By the way, that's a sexually excited sound that you heard.
Oh,
I think.
It's not danger. Well,
that's
not
the
danger.
First thing that occurred to me.
I think.
Okay. So anyway.
How did you pick the celebrities that are on Celebrity Rehab? Because you certainly had plenty to choose from.
That's what, yes, we do. And that's what Mike was asking about off the air. And I did not select anybody. I actually had to be blinded the whole process because think about it. If I were in the interviewing process and somebody walks in, they're sick, and I say, you need treatment, I have to treat them now.
Oh, I see.
I can't say, hey, can you wait till August 1st when we start filming?
I see.
So I had to be completely outside of that process. However, I was actually a screening. I was the screen to see if, in fact, they were not too sick to be treated. We actually had to turn away a number of people.
Really?
And
really?
One actually
names,
got...
Names, names,
I can't tell you because one of them we actually sent into the hospital immediately and
really?
VH1 paid for his treatment. They did very, very
no
well.
No kidding, wow.
Yeah, they were... VH1 was unbelievable with this project. They were just... I can't say enough about it. They couldn't have been, I don't think it could have been done anywhere else. They
so
literally,
they treated it sensitively. It wasn't they were, these are stars. Let's get them on for ratings. They really are trying to help people too.
Very seriously. And about they didn't quite know what they were getting into. I kept saying, "You guys, a lot's going to happen. Just trust me. Things happen in treatment. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me." Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you. We'll build a pyramid and we'll build a totem pole and each. I was like, "What? What? The stuff's going to happen. Just turn the cameras on." And about 3 days in, the head of now the senior VP of VH1, Jeff Old, walked up to me and goes, "I understand what's happening now. I get it. Just let us know what we do to support you. We'll see you in 3 weeks." I was like, a television executive saying something like that? It's just unheard of.
When we talked to you before, you said you wanted to do this because it would help clarify. What's the biggest misconception you think that people have?
Well, that it's some sort of spa or that it's some sort of intellectual process or we're just going to convince you not to use sort of Dr. Phil style or something. When in fact, it's a very deeply experiential process that's it doesn't suit itself to a soundbite. You can't really describe it in a sentence. And it's different for each person.
Right.
And then the other issue was why celebrities? And celebrities are sicker than the average person. They just are. And nothing worse than radio. Anyway, but there is. There's more pathology amongst people that need to be celebrities. And I originally actually wanted to put regular people in the group.
Right.
And we started doing interviews for regular people. And about halfway into it, I was, you don't see this on TV. I'm constantly checking with people. Are you okay? Are you okay? Is this bothering you? Are you going to be okay with this? Because we're all like basically putting on spacesuits and going out to a new planet every day.
Right.
And the subject, yeah. But before, when we were dealing with regular people, they'd kind of be confused by that question. Like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm going to be ashamed? They couldn't understand what it was going to be like on television. I thought, this is not informed consent. We can't.
Right.
This will
they don't
people.
Understand what
they don't understand what they're
happen.
Getting into. Well, on the other hand, the celebrities, Mary Carey kind of summarized it for me. She goes, Drew, I've done everything in front of a camera. This is not a problem.
Yeah, she was a porn star, right?
Yeah. And I thought, okay. So
she understands.
That's about it. And Brigitte said the same thing. I've been on Surreal Life. I've done crazy things. But this is a chance for me to be a human being.
Right.
And they now, really were. They're very courageous.
If you had to have sex with one of the members of the celebrity
I'm so glad I came on this show. I'm so
Which
glad.
One would it be? Would it be Mary? Would it be Brigitte? Would it be Jeff Conway? Who would you
Jeff.
Choose?
It'd be Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
Jeff.
Now, Drew, I have to ask Lisa,
I love
Lisa,
when Pete starts that with something like
I know.
That.
I have to
first,
ask.
First, it's who would you have sex with? Now I really got us a tough question here. Go ahead.
And that is, there must have been, and I haven't read many reviews of the show, but there have to have been some people who would say,
yeah.
Wow, you're not doing these guys a favor by making them go through this on
right.
television. Wouldn't
yes.
it be better to respect their privacy, give them the opportunity to do this off camera? What do you say to those?
There was actually very little of that. I was really surprised. I was expecting at best sort of 50-50, people for and against. It was about 90-10. There were a couple of reviewers that went that way. And here's my thing. That when people use the word exploitation, aren't you exploiting their problems? And several of these people were down and out on the street and had no money, would not have had treatment any other way. It was they really would talked about it as a godsend for them. Mm-hmm. They had an opportunity to get treatment. They got good treatment. They did well. Number two, they're being paid for this. They're being paid. And that's what kept – and by the way, it was a way of motivating them to stay in treatment. The average addict in treatment, when you – push on them, they leave. They go use.
Right.
These guys wanted to be on TV. They wanted to get paid.
They get paid for however
long?
By
the week. And so they were motivated to stay in the treatment. And how – there's no power imbalance in this. It's not like we were saying, we're going to use you for this. They understood clearly what they were getting into. They were good with it. It's not so far, not seemed to hurt anybody. I consider exploitation shoving a camera in Britney Spears' face without her consent and watching her killing herself.
Right.
That's exploiting her disease. Here we are, courageous people – with informed consent, stepping up and courageously sharing their recovery experience. It's uncomfortable. It's a new thing.
You don't think with the camera in front of them anything
well, that was the
changes?
Well, yes, and that's my constant challenge. I knew the camera would keep them in the game and sort of keep them honest, so there was a positive there, a motivational
positive.
Oh,
I see, a positive. Okay.
But no, the negative was, are you acting for the camera? Are you holding back because of the camera? Are you
right.
just here because of the camera?
Right.
And I had to sort of constantly be evaluating those things because I'm used to people in treatment because they don't want to die. And
right.
there were a couple of those. Jessica was that way and Seth was that way. They knew they were sick.
But China, for instance,
right.
when she first comes in, my thought was, because she said, I binge drink a little bit, but I'm really not even sure that I have a problem. I thought, I think she's here just for publicity.
Absolutely. That was my question, too. And yet her people were like, no, 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 you don't understand. You don't understand. So I had all this information, and I had to just try to crack her denial. Yeah. And we eventually get around to it. It does take a while.
Now, Jeff Conaway.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We have to take a break. Jeff Conaway is a train wreck. I mean, watching that show, you go, wow, that guy is messed up.
I will never do drugs.
He shows up at rehab with alcohol and everything else. I mean, he shows up with that.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
All right. Dr. Drew is here. Celebrity Rehab is on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock on VH1, and we'll be right back. Celebrity Rehab is the show. It's on tonight on VH1. Dr. Drew is in the studios with us.
Thank you, guys.
Smartest man we know.
Yes, he is. Lisa, you were just getting ready to ask about your favorite member of the Celebrity Rehab cast.
Jeff Conaway makes it so fascinating. And I don't know yet how much he plays up for the cameras, because sometimes I have a feeling he really is.
Sometimes I had that feeling, too, but not in what you've seen so far.
Really?
Yeah, because we're only 2 days in and the footage has aired so far.
And here's my question. Is in those first 2 days, did you think, wow, maybe he was too sick to be here?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you don't see a lot of it, but when he's sitting outside
there. Because there's people you rejected who were worse than him, but it's hard to imagine.
He was right on the razor's edge. In fact, you know, when we're out in front of the hospital there, and we're sitting at that whole process.
Front of the car.
We were sort of in the patio there in front, and that we went for a long time. They were debating. I had another doctor come in and look at him. Are we going to make it? And if you notice some of the interviews with me, I'm saying, I thought we were going to make it. I thought he was going to be okay, but no. And so we really stayed on him all day long looking to see if he needed to go, and he did. And then we sent him, and we brought him back.
Here's a little clip of how he gets along with the other housemates.
You've had a seizure in here. You've had to go to the hospital in here. You've disrupted the group number of times with loud antics. You smuggled drugs into the place.
No, I did not take it back.
Is Jeff lying? He's just flat out lying, isn't he?
No, you'll see. There's a payoff on this.
Okay.
It's actually a little bit funny.
And which Baldwin is that?
That's Daniel.
But is he the father of everyone in that damn place? He just sits around and counsels everyone.
Yes, he does. And that's
annoying.
And that's not good for him, because he's not focused on his own recovery. And I had grave concerns about it, and he was ambivalent about being there. Some stuff happens with Daniel. You'll have to – some really interesting things happen. And he – I can't tell you. But he – in about episode 3, 4, 5 – some, that's, those are all Daniel Baldwin episodes. And he – in retrospect, he added a lot, helped a lot of people, and I'm grateful that he was there. And I really have grown affection for him. But for his own recovery, him being a big daddy teacher, not such a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not worth it.
Dr. Drew, did celebrity play a role in any of these people becoming addicts, or is that a dumb question because obviously more non-celebrities become addicts than celebrities?
No, right. It's not a dumb question. It's some sort of really a fantasy that people have that somehow being a celebrity renders people pathological and renders them addicts. It doesn't. Not at all. In fact, it's just, we did research. You used to hear Adam complain about this, right? Now, thank God Stryker's in there now. But I used to do research on our guests, our celebrity guests on Loveland, and we published this data, and we were able to show that no matter how long you've been a celebrity, it has no impact on the degree of pathology with which you arrive to your celebrity status.
So, right. There's not a higher percentage
there's
of
a higher percentage of being messed up, but they come to their celebrity status messed up. Being a celebrity is a sort of a compensation for all their pathology. And being a celebrity is good. It's better to be a celebrity. It's just once you're a celebrity, there's nobody to render consequences on them, and so they run amok more
readily.
Gotcha. Right.
Now, you mentioned, I believe, off the air that as intense as these first two episodes of your Celebrity Rehab show have been, it does eventually lighten up as we get further into the 28 days, right?
It really truly becomes inspirational. I was watching some of the last episodes, and I cried. And it was not that intense when I was there because I was in it and maintaining my boundaries and stuff. But when you step back and see what these people went through, it is very moving. Very, very inspirational.
Celebrity Rehab on VH1 airs Thursday nights. That's tonight at 10. Let me ask you one non-TV show question, Doctor, since we're lucky enough to have you in here today.
A Loveline question?
I've got a sore. I don't know what to do. I saw Jack Nicholson on the TV yesterday, and he was being asked about the tragic Heath Ledger death. And he really went off on Ambien and talked about the problems that he's had with Ambien.
Yes.
And I've heard other people in the news this week say that Ambien in combination with a lot of other things is extremely dangerous and people have no idea what it can do to you. Is that the fact?
Yeah, listen, these are spectacularly effective medication. all medicines are dangerous. They need to be used exceedingly carefully. Ambien is addictive. Ambien can cause seizures. And what people are concerned about is Ambien causes amnesia. So people get up in the middle of the night and do all kinds of things and drive. Remember when one of the Kennedys was driving on Ambien? Was an Ambien thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you add in Xanax or Valium or Klonopin, you add an opiate in, you add alcohol in, now you're not breathing. And that's a step, maybe
Heath
what
Ledger, who Ledger. Now they're saying had five or six different prescription drugs in his apartment,
that's
any one of them in combination with Ambien is really a recipe for trouble is what it sounds like.
Not one of them so much as two or three, and you really got trouble.
The combination.
Yeah, the combos.
Plus pneumonia, in his case.
Yeah, but we have the autopsy where pneumonia was not really an issue.
Oh,
but here's what tips me off is if you have pneumonia, then you often get a cough syrup with opiates in it.
Sure.
You do that, and you got Xanax, and you got an opiate, and if you take a lot of cough syrup with the dextromethorphan and the alcohol, now you got big problems.
So you really ought to be supervised if you're on more than a couple of different prescriptions at one time.
Is that you asking for yourself?
No. I'm just thinking of this Heath Ledger thing. I'm just wondering how it sounds to me like it was just a tragic accident with a guy who thought he was taking all the stuff that was good for him, and it just was a bad combination.
No medicines are good for you. It's only that the risks are outweighed by the benefits for whatever disease you're trying to treat. All medicines need to be carefully supervised. My rule of thumb is the short-acting benzos like Xanax, the hypnotics like Ambien, Lunesta, don't ever use them more than 2 weeks unless there are extraordinarily compelling reasons.
There you go. All right. Okay. I'm just glad Dr. Drew came in and wasn't an intervention. I'm afraid of that every time.
Dr. Drew was terrified. Oh. All of his friends and family were going to be in the next room and start walking in one by one.
My friends, family, okay, good. Everything's fine.
Anyway, check out the Celebrity Rehab. It really is unlike anything else on television. And it's a big hit for VH1, right?
They're doing great with it, right? They're very happy. Yes, they are.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, new episode tonight with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, and of course, Love Line tonight at 10 on K-Rock. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks to you guys.
I was watching the Celebrity Apprentice last week, Kevin. I know you're a big fan of that show, too, on NBC Thursday nights. And I was thinking, Gene Simmons got fired. First time ever in his life he must have been fired from anything, I would imagine.
I don't know. He strikes me as a guy who would get fired a lot in the early days.
Until he works for himself,
In the early days.
Exactly.
I agree.
Let's find out. Thursday nights at 9 on NBC, The Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Gene Simmons, our old friend, joins us back on the program. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Always good to talk to you. So who's right? I say it's probably the first time you've ever been fired. Kevin says you strike him as a guy who's probably been fired a lot.
I think you're mixing apples and pears. One's a TV show called The Apprentice.
Right.
The other one is in real life. I only play the game of life. So I stand by my convictions. The two execs at Kodak were wrong and are unqualified to make that assessment. They've never created something. You guys at K-Rock should know. I'm the guy that came up with the I Am Indy campaign for the IndyCar series, the thing that you guys ripped off. I Am K-Rock.
We did. We stole that.
I created that.
Yeah.
So when an executive has an opinion, that's fine. I think they mean well. But my first question is, and what have you done? What qualifies you to make an assessment? So,
They're an executive at the Kodak company.
It means nothing. Right now, the CEO is thinking about firing them, and I'll tell you why. Because when you position a worldwide quality brand like Kodak as a Walmart, McDonald's kind of discount brand, you're killing yourself, which is to say, ink at half the price is branding suicide. You're allowed to do that, but I will not tell you what you want to
hear. That's what we love about Gene, though, is that he can get fired from Celebrity Apprentice, and yet...
Still win. You're going to watch an interview I just did with Jim Cramer for Mad Money. This is the financial guru that Wall Street watches on CNBC. And he's also already on my side as a private interview he did. And he said, Gene is absolutely correct. Kodak is a worldwide. It's a Kodak world. That's genius. That's the right branding. And the two executives were completely wrong. I stand with. So you get off of a TV show, but you make the right decision for a brand. If I tell you what you want to hear, then I'm useless. You don't want yes men around you. You want somebody who. Look, when you get into the ring and your coach comes over, you know, your trainer says, okay, do this, do that. Hey, I'm the champion of the world. I know, be quiet. Now do this and do this and do that because he's qualified to tell. Just because somebody in the stands, give him an uppercut, that guy means nothing. The guy in the stand is, you know, who's telling you give him an uppercut has never been in the ring.
So you weren't trying to get fired because it looked, at the beginning, it looked to us like maybe he just wants to get off the show.
I have to win on my own. In my own way, which is to say I stand by my convictions. And if you can't, you can lead a horse to water and all that stuff, but if the Kodak execs don't want to drink the elixir of gold that this offers them, it's their suicide. However, ethically and morally, I couldn't blame the girls. It was my decision, and I stand by it.
I understand.
It is still the right decision. Okay, how about you guys? You pick one. Kodak ink at half the price, or it's a Kodak world.
I prefer, I'll be completely honest with you, and I'm not saying this because you're on the phone. I did prefer your campaign, and I did think that you were right, but I think most of us in that situation would have tried to play in the confines of the game and do what the client had asked us to do.
That's why most of you don't rise and get tens of millions of dollars in a corporate branding world.
Well, that's true.
That, because a corporate entity must have people within its ranks who test the walls, otherwise the walls are never strong.
I agree.
If all you have around you are people that tell you what you want to hear, you're going nowhere fast.
Do you get along with Donald Trump?
Fantastically. You know, while we're doing this, and he's kind of, Gene, you didn't do that. He's winking at me going, Gene, in parentheses, I would have done the same thing.
Let me play a clip. Gene, hang on one second. Let me play a clip from last week's Celebrity Apprentice, and you'll see a little bit of the tug of war that's going on in Donald Trump's mind, because he obviously considers himself a friend of yours and respects you, but he also knows what he has to do for the show. Listen to this.
Gene, what am I going to do? You brought back two people that I practically told you shouldn't bring back. What the hell do I do? You're so independent. You're so tough. I'm giving you a roadmap, and I don't normally do that.
I think in a lot of ways, you're sitting here right now saying you don't think you're being listened to. You're all but asking.
No, I know Gene. He'll do the opposite because he's the most independent thinker there is. He's like this great genius marketer. He's a friend of mine, but he wants to show me how independent. So if I say do this, he's going to do the opposite.
I disagree.
You know I'm a fan of yours. Wait a minute.
I love that you disagree that you always want to do the opposite.
No, that's not right, actually. I would do what my convictions tell me is right.
Right.
If God says something that I disagree with, I don't care if you're God. You've given me the wherewithal and the cranial capacity to say that's not what my conviction tells me. And by the way, just believing in something doesn't mean you're right. I really am qualified to do this.
Yes,
I have created brands. I know how to implement them. I have access. I can actually connect the dots and actually make motors work.
I do feel like somebody should say, well, this guy did sell the Kiss casket. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, we know. Believe me, I know. Hey, Gene, let me just run one more thing by it, because I know we're both very tight on time. On NBC.com, they have a fan poll of people who watch The Celebrity Apprentice. And the question was asked, what was Gene's biggest flaw? Looking for clues as to what.
My guess would be arrogance.
Arrogance was number one by far with 57%.
And all those people misunderstand conviction for arrogance. They're weak. They don't have the ability to arch their backs, roar to the world, and say, I'm here. By the way, the people that do, the ones that stick their heads above the crowd, are always going to get picked on. The people who misread and misunderstand that simply don't understand there's a world of difference between arrogance and conviction, which is to say, either you really are that good and you're simply stating fact, or it's just all bluster. I really am that good.
It is hard to argue with that success. And by the way, congratulations on being the monster in Cloverfield, too. I thought you were excellent in that film.
Thank you. And by the way, tonight I'm on Ugly Betty playing one of the girls' dads, but I always ask the girls, who's your daddy?
Sure, yeah, you do.
This is going back on a worldwide tour starting March.
No kidding.
We start in Australia, New Zealand, playing the stadiums, then go to Greece and Russia and throughout Europe playing outdoors.
Beautiful. Wow.
Then we are coming to America to do 50 shows, and Gene Simmons Family Jewels Season 3 begins in March, and we have energy drinks and brand new corporate entities, and just log on to GeneSimmons.com and you'll see.
Gene, it's always nice to catch up with you. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. And Celebrity Apprentice airs tonight at 9 on NBC. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Ralph, I want you to not feel intimidated.
Name?
Ralph.
Okay.
I want you to not feel intimidated, not feel rushed, not worry about the time, but Aisha Tyler is in the next room and is coming in after the top of the hour date. That's all I'm saying. I'm only suggesting that she's here and will be coming in soon.
Uh-huh.
So do whatever you like, but just know that my next wife is in the next room ready to come in.
You know what? I'm doing her a huge favor by keeping her out of this room.
You need to
love her so. As humanly possible.
You need to filibuster.
I do.
I need Jimmy Stewart
and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. I'm talking like this.
I need her to be mine is what I'm telling you. She's the perfect woman.
She's
beautiful. She's talented. Oh. She's 6 feet tall. Did I mention she's beautiful?
You did, yes.
Remember the past 2 days where Bean wasn't on?
It was refreshing.
Good times, wasn't it?
The air was a little sweeter. Everyone had a little jump in their step.
I know that you were in a much better mood, Ralph.
I do know that.
The problem is I love too much. That's what you're criticizing me for now. Is it too much love?
That's it.
How great is it that Steve Carell got on a jury and Bean didn't?
Pretty funny.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that hurt. That would really hurt.
Just because to show you how much likability factors into things.
I am way better qualified to serve on a jury than he
is. Sure. That's what the jury system found out.
Yeah. He thinks God told him to build an ark. That guy's not even mentally sound.
Yeah, sure did enjoy those 2 days.
You can't say that, Ralph. You can't say the F word. What makes you think you can?
There's no jury in the world that would convict me. The FCC would say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're going to pass on this one.
Bean does need to shut the F up.
If you put it in context, they would give me some sort of congressional medal.
That's true. Not only would you
get a Purple Heart or something.
You get the Medal of Valor that Tom Cruise got.
Medal of Valor.
Giant medal around his neck.
Giant hubcap.
Flavor Flav style.
You guys just played some Radiohead.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
This leads me into my first story. I feel bad for Johnny Greenwood.
How come?
Guitarist for Radiohead. He has been given the middle finger by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
By the way, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. There was a lot of talk that he would get an Oscar nomination for his movie score for the Daniel Day-Lewis movie, right?
He did the score for There Will Be Blood. However, he was not nominated for Best Original Score, despite the fact that the movie was nominated for 8 other arenas.
Wow, so they noticed the movie, just not the music.
No, you noticed the music, but I just found it over the top and
Lisa found it distracting. It was almost too much. I didn't see the movie yet. But.
Well, maybe Lisa's an Academy voter.
Yeah.
And she reamed Johnny Greenwood.
I did not like it.
It turns out the reason he wasn't nominated is because the score wasn't written entirely for the movie. It wasn't an original piece of work.
Oh.
Some of the music came from a performance that he did for the BBC a few years ago.
He
thought this would be appropriate, so he lifted that and put it into the show. And he also took pieces from an Estonian classical composer named Arvo Pärt.
Oh, Arvo does
That's
good work.
That's the part I didn't like.
He does do good work.
And then took some Brahms compositions as well and put them in there. Mm-hmm. So
he horked himself out of eligibility.
And Toto, the pieces of work was not original and thereby did not fall under the...
I didn't hear any Toto in the
Toto
movie.
Was involved.
Congratulations to our pal Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
She just got her show, My Life on the D-List, renewed for a 4th season.
Wow.
By Bravo, so congratulations.
She's funny.
She is very funny. That show's
great
very
show.
Entertaining.
How dare you.
And bad news for Drew Carey.
Yeah.
CBS just pulled The Power of 10. That
show
is no longer on that game show.
That was a good show.
Now he's just got The Prices Right and billions of dollars.
I think he'll be all right.
So don't feel too sorry for him.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Heath Ledger passed away, of course, earlier this week. And as of yet, the cause of death still remains unknown, according to New York authorities. They did a preliminary autopsy, which found no signs of organ failure or dramatic trauma to the body. So now it's just a matter of the toxicology report, which usually takes from 4 to 8 weeks to come back. But inside sources say they're going to try to rush this one, which means we're talking about 2 weeks. So we should have some idea what exactly was in his system and what caused him to pass.
I don't know how they do that, but 2 weeks seems like forever. How did they not get it done sooner?
I know.
4 to 8 weeks. That's got to be a backlog, doesn't it? I mean,
well, it's, you know, ordering, shipping, and handling, you know, and then they're going to send
they
it
walk
to
it
you.
Places?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Ralph, we spoke with Dr. Drew Pinsky last hour, who knows a lot about this sort of thing. No, he's pretty qualified, and he suggested that it's easy to mix a number of those prescription drugs that were found in Mr. Ledger's apartment together in a very bad and potentially lethal combination. It may have been, you know, just a mistake, just too many medicines that interact poorly with one another.
And by lethal and dangerous, you mean fun. That's what you mean.
Well,
good times
for
if it's done right.
A short amount of time, I guess.
For just a nice cocktail. You want to put a little Xanax? I say 2 parts Xanax, 1 part Valium, some tequila, and then just top it off with a crushed up Ambien that just snort.
This and this.
That's what you recommend for the kids listening?
It's a good time at the Jeff Conaway household. That's what I'm saying. And I promised you the list of the 10 best movie weapons of all time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is a great list of very cool weapons that have been used in movies throughout the history of film. So here we go.
Okay.
Number 10. Odd Job's bowler hat and Goldfinger.
No.
Sure.
What? No.
No, that
was a pretty cool weapon.
Come on.
The guy who'd take his bowler hat and throw it, it was made out of steel and it would chop people's heads off.
That's
a cool
that,
movie
Mike.
Weapon. How is that not a cool movie weapon?
He doesn't think that way.
I want it gone. It's been
F-16,
gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Germans used. Yeah. The Panzer divisions on my history channel.
I've got three or four nominees in my head.
Yeah, just pipe down.
As do I. Go ahead. Nine.
Nine, the Death Star. Star Wars, Death Star.
Strong.
Oh.
Strong.
How's that not number one?
It's a whole planet. That it's just a whole planet destroys of things. That's all it does. The gun that Al Pacino uses in Scarface.
Oh, yeah, that
at
was
the
a
end,
great
say
gun.
Say hello to my little friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a one of the top 10 movie weapons of all time. Robin Hood's bow and arrow, number 7.
Okay.
What?
Ahead of the Death Star?
Come on. Robin Hood's bow and arrow.
What?
Ahead of Tony Montana's AK with the grenade launcher on it?
I'm just saying Robin Hood has been in, you know, the story of Robin has been remade dozens of times, and his bow and arrow is a legendary movie weapon.
Yeah.
Bogus. Number 6, the golden gun that the man with the golden gun used in the James Bond movie of the same name.
I didn't see that one.
It was made out of like a fountain pen and a cigarette case and a lighter, and he screwed it all together with solid gold, and it would kill you with a golden bullet.
Okay.
Pretty cool movie weapon.
Good enough.
Number 5, the chainsaw Leatherface uses in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Now we're talking.
Sure.
Mike likes it when people are dismembered by a chainsaw.
Certainly. It's important.
Number 4, Uma Thurman's samurai sword in Kill Bill.
Okay.
Strong.
Number 3, Indiana Jones's bullwhip.
Okay.
That's a pretty cool weapon.
Yeah?
That bullwhip.
Doesn't seem like it's better than the Death Star, for example.
It's not the most lethal weapons of all time. It's the coolest top 10 movie weapons of all time.
All right.
Number 2, Dirty Harry's 44 Magnum.
There it is.
Sure.
That's the one you would have picked?
Yeah, the most powerful handgun in the world. It's going to blow your head clean off.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself a question. Did I fire 6 shots or just 5? Well, what's going to be? Do you feel lucky?
Well, do you, punk?
I have a guess for number 1.
You do?
It's a tie with Rambo's left hand and Rambo's right hand.
Because he punches someone's head off?
Yes, punches their head clean off.
Is that still sticking to that idea that he punches some guy's head off?
You watch it this weekend.
You watch it and see that he's got a giant sickle in his hand and he hits the guy.
Doesn't need it.
I have a guess, Ralph, if I'm allowed.
Sure.
But I'm hesitant to mention it because there's already been a Star Wars related answer on the list. But I thought lightsaber was the very first thing. Star Wars lightsaber is what I thought when I heard the
lightsaber
original
lightsaber is the top movie weapon of all time.
Is it?
The lightsaber.
How about that?
The lightsaber.
That answer is true.
Excellent.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Good work. Where's the Batarang, mother effers?
What is the Batarang? I don't know what it is.
Batarang's what Batman throws.
It's a boomerang.
It's a boomerang shaped like a bat.
Gay.
Even Lisa knew that.
Even Lisa knew that.
Gay.
What about Excalibur? Doesn't that seem like...
That wasn't really for the movies so much. I mean, it's a legend long before it was a movie, but it's a good weapon.
I would like to see, instead of the golden gun, I would like to see the air compressor in No Country for Old Men on that list as one of the coolest movie weapons I've ever seen.
Yep. Maybe this list was released before they took that into consideration, because that was pretty cool.
Call it Frindle. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what, Javier Bardem?
Call it, friendo. How much for the sunflower seeds?
It's Mayor Villaraigosa.
How much for the sunflower seeds?
Today's celebrity birthdays. There's no way Aisha Tyler's still here, by the way, if she's listening to the show.
I know.
No way she's still here. She has bolted.
Be best for her.
Wisely, she's bolted for the exits.
Oh, I love her so much.
This is going to be one of those creepy interviews, isn't it?
No, not at all. It's going to be delightful. I'm going to ask her why the dollar is so weak.
Why is the dollar so weak?
You know what I'm worried about, too? You know, they're giving us 3 fresh houses starting next week.
Yes.
House is coming
right
back.
House, yeah.
The first one stars Janelle Maloney.
Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Bean has an under
me.
I think we can say
she's
that either.
Bleeding from the eyes, and he's going to be out his pants around his ankles. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to have to delay twice for Ralph, just for this showbiz beat.
Good times. I'm doing better than I thought. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Lillard. You know him from the Scooby-Doo movies by Shaggy and that. Of course, Scream as well. 38 years old today. Misha Barton from The O.C. turns 22. Tatiana Ali, who played Ashley on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, turns 29. And Neil Diamond, legendary singer and actor. Neil Diamond. If you've never seen The Jazz Singer, plays a Jewish cantor who wants to be a rock and roll singer. And
wow.
Laurence Olivier as his old Jewish father who tears his clothing.
That sounds horrible.
You have no idea. He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There we go.
is Omar bringing in his records again? Do we really need that? Come on.
I think so.
Aisha, Aisha, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And, of course, we're talking about the lovely Aisha Tyler, who joins us back
Good
in the
morning.
Studio, currently
Good
appearing
morning.
At the Hollywood Improv this weekend, yes. Friday and Saturday, and then the Bray Improv next weekend, Thursday
My
through Saturday.
My massive Southland tour.
Yes. No kidding.
Two cities, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aisha, how you been? What's going on?
I'm awesome. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. I love you guys.
You weren't listening when Bean was talking.
No,
about
I missed
we
it.
Don't need to bring
My
that
ears
up. That's
were
not
burning, and there was a little bit of blood leaking out of one of them, so it must have been bad.
He said the words, "You will be mine."
Oh,
or
my
she
God.
Will be mine.
And nice. Yeah. And then did he rub his hands together like Mr. Burns?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah. It's a little
I'm
scary.
I'm just saying your husband
Release
is not right for you. That's all I'm saying. He's just so wrong for you, that dude. I don't even know him,
you know
but I'm
him?
Telling you, you've made a mistake. No, I don't even know who he is.
You just know. You just know somehow deep down it was a terrible,
well, because
terrible mistake
if he's
14
not me.
Years ago.
Yeah, if he's not me, he's clearly wrong. Oh, have you been married for 14 years?
I married my college boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's not going to last.
I know. Yeah, seriously, right? Another 14 years, I'm out of there. And it's funny because in Hollywood, I've already had like my platinum anniversary. You
oh,
know
yeah.
what I mean? You hit 5 years, you're just on fire.
Yeah. You'd so, be much happier with the giant recluse dork.
That lives 1,000 miles away.
Much happier.
What do you think,
Manic
Aisha?
Hand washer.
Do you privately chuckle when you see these celebrity marriages that last 3 months and then break up? Do you just shake your head in awe and wonder, go, how is that possible? These people aren't even trying.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think I just kind of lucked out. Like, I married a guy who I met when I was not in the business, and he's just a rad guy, and he doesn't really care about the business. He's not involved in it at all. It's more like, you know, what a waste of stuff and money, man. Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, why don't you just throw a party, get your friends drunk? Why does it have to be a marriage? You know what I mean? Like,
hey,
that's the thing I don't get.
Eddie Murphy made it 2 weeks.
Did he? I thought it was like 3 days.
I don't know how long it was.
Eddie was probably like the most kind of sweet, debonair guy, like right up to the marriage. He's like, make us a mix! Yeah! You know, like right after she put the ring on.
You have to cut the time in half, though, because you got to start arguing at some point.
At some point.
So if it was 2 weeks, it was only a week.
It was
3 days, it was only a day and a half.
I think they argued like all through the honeymoon,
yeah.
we were fighting constantly,
yeah,
which
yeah.
just That's... over who was going to pick up the transvestite hooker. don't come
nice.
To my house and kill me, please.
So you have a happy Hollywood marriage. That's what you're
I do.
Me.
I do. I have a happy. I wouldn't call it a Hollywood marriage. We just happen to live in Hollywood, but I
yeah,
definitely.
I
I'm very, very lucky. I did luck out. I scored because he's out in the business. He doesn't care. And he's great because I come home and I'm like, this thing happened and I'm in the movie and my dress. And he's like, honestly, that's so not interesting to me. And I'm like, yeah, it's not really that interesting to me
that.
Either. Let's play some Xbox. And that's the secret to happy marriage is killing aliens.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah, we play
true.
A lot of Xbox.
Now, let me ask this, because a lot of people like you who maybe get started or get known as a comedian,
uh-huh.
then they make it big in the movies and the TV as you have. Then they just think, why do stand-up anymore? It's like so far down on the entertainment totem pole for some people.
And
they don't ever want to do it again.
It is. It's
and
like
so much more work.
It's like
why
opening
do you
a restaurant and then going back to sweeping the kitchen. It's
yeah.
true. I'm like,
yeah. Because a lot of people do stand-up in order to advance their careers and get to the point where they don't have to do stand-up anymore. I assume that you either still like it or you have some sort of crack habit and you desperately need the money this weekend.
It's just the free chicken wings, quite honestly.
Is that it?
The first free chicken wings and the watered down drinks. No, here's what it is. I love doing comedy, and I every time I stop doing it for a while, I don't want to go back to it. It's hard. It's a grind. But when you're doing it, it's like being on crack. It's the most kind of elating, exciting feeling in the world. And I really wanted to do an 1 hour special. That was kind of my focus.
Oh,
and
I
so
see.
Yeah, so I finally had some time. I mean, I've been busy. I finally had a break in the TV schedule called the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
And so thought this is a great time to get back out on the road and I'm doing a special this year. So that was kind of the impetus
okay.
to get back on the road was to do a 1 hour special.
So it's you can't replace the charge you get from the live audience and being in the moment.
It is very sex-like, I must say. And the charge you get from running from
brief.
The occasional stalker who's trying to stab you in the neck after a show. That's also its own kind of
that's
rush.
That's fun.
When someone comes up with you like a sharpened spoon, you know, that's its own excitement.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. No, yeah, but people should just know that I have a shiv and I will use it. So I learned in the big house.
Excellent.
I love doing it. And it's also nice because it's the only opportunity you get to connect directly with your fans. You know what I mean? Like you don't get.
But you don't like people. You really
Well, I like them from far away.
Oh, I see. From
you know,
the stage,
from
it's
the
fine.
Stage, okay. it's fine. And no, I do like. I mean, you know, it's great when somebody comes up to you and they're like, "I love what you do." You know, because most of the time you're sitting at home, you know, picking your nose in the mirror, and so
sure.
it's nice when someone else will do it for you. I love it.
Why
I love
do you have to pick your nose in the mirror? Don't
just
you know
sure,
where your nose is? By
well,
now?
To make sure that you're being thorough.
It's important if you don't finish the job.
Before you go out.
You know, you leave a hanger and then, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this conversation went south quick.
It got really unsophisticated really fast, didn't it? I know.
The problem is guys don't do that, and they should.
Yes, exactly. Women are very thorough. And
so you're saying guys don't pick their nose enough. That's
yes. Why don't we talk about farts for a while? Let's step it up enough.
Well, we need to take a break, and then we'll come back with the farts.
I don't know how this happened.
Aisha Tyler are doing Hollywood Improv this Friday and Saturday, and then Brea Improv next Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. How can people only have to pay 20? I would pay $20 just to see you sit in a chair on stage for an hour, much
so
less do comedy.
We want to keep it real for the people, my friend. Plus, after this tour, I'm going to be playing like big palaces and like airplane hangars. So this is your last chance to see me.
Rose Bowl.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Our guest in studio is Aisha Tyler this morning. She's going to be appearing at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night and Saturday night, and then next Thursday through Saturday at the Brea Improv. You may know Aisha as, if you ever watched Friends, she was the only black person who lived in the city of New York.
In fact, on my driver's license, it says the black girl from Friends. It's a much easier way to identify me than they go, I know you from somewhere. Do we go to school together? Black girl on Friends. Oh!
That's it.
That one.
And nothing was funnier than New York City for 7 years before they came across one single African-American friend, which
exactly,
I thought was really funny.
Exactly.
Here's a question. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but you are, of course, a former host of The Talk Soup, which is one of the best shows ever. In your opinion, is the best of all of the hosts of The Soup or The Talk Soup?
Besides moi.
Yeah, sure. You got to take yourself out, obviously.
You know, I have to say that I loved John Henson, maybe because that was the era that I watched it the most.
Right.
And I loved his energy. And if there was anybody that I was most like, it was probably John. And then I liked that kind of spazzy, like 20-year-old college kid kind of vibe. That was how
any
I
love
the
for
show.
Mikhail?
I like Joel a lot, and I just met him the other day on the red carpet at the Cloverfield premiere, and we we loved each other. We made out instantly. We're like, I love you so much. I love you. Everyone's like, please pull the pants back up. Love Joel, and the show is different now though. The Soup now is not Talk Soup. It's a different show, so I kind of can't compare it to the old guys. But he's great, and I saw him he's a great actor too. I saw him in a television pilot that he did last year that was fantastic. So Joel, if you're out there, you owe me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Isn't it so funny,
for mentioning him third? For giving him and also ran.
But it's so funny now to think about Greg Kinnear hosting that show. That seems like, you might as well be talking about Walter Cronkite doing the news. It seems like so long ago, doesn't it?
It really does. It has that kind of, I can't even think of like a show from the 50s, like that.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. But what was great, Greg was really a crisp guy. He did it very differently. It wasn't. It
What's
was
a
much
crisp
drier.
Guy?
Well, it was very dry. He would deliver these very dry lines and kind of wait for the laugh. And then everybody else came in and we were like, hey, honk, honk, honk. Look at that little plastic piece of poo. I have a turkey. We were just, we were spazzes when we came on there. And we were, we would do. That show was like, it was like Wayne's World. And it was very uncensored. You never had, when no one ever read our scripts or told us what we could or couldn't say. But
wow, that's nice.
In my tenure.
The old days.
It was the good old days for sure. I will say that during my tenure, we brought kind of the hammer of justice down upon our heads by doing a bit. I don't work there anymore, so I can tell you all about
And
I didn't sign any confidentiality agreement. Ha! we did a bit. It's my favorite bit still to this day that I've ever been involved with. It was when a new super shaky Elmo came out, like a super jiggly Elmo was on the market. Uh-huh. And we did a bit where Elmo was lying down and Raggedy Ann was sitting on his face.
Yes.
Oh my God. And her dress was pulled down and she was like, kiss it for mommy. I swear to God, I laughed in my car all the way home for like an hour straight. And after that, I think Mattel wrote a couple of really angry letters that had, multiple curse words in it. And that was the end of that.
It's hard to sit in an office and be told that that's not funny when you're laughing the whole time.
You know it's funny, right?
Funny. Well, it's like, if you don't know why it's funny, honestly, seppuku would be the answer for your life, because that is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen or heard in my life.
Yeah.
And I think your career has already peaked, though.
With that skit?
The Elmo skit?
That's the best thing you'll ever be associated with.
I think I still got something left in me. Some new kind of masturbatory bit that I haven't come up with yet. Leave it to me. There's still gems.
I saw you over the holidays. I saw you in the Santa Claus 2 as Mother Nature. I saw that about 4 times over the holidays.
You got the little ones,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
I love that because sometimes they see me in the store and they start screaming and crying and stuff like that. Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow.
I'm like, are you, have you ever seen a black person before?
Is this a black
guy?
Did it roll up your talk in the parking lot? So that's always nice.
By the way, we found out during the last song that black people all know karate.
Yes,
I wasn't aware of that.
If you look at any of the great blaxploitation films of the 70s, they always end with a giant kind of ghetto kung fu battle in which everybody just goes, hi-ya! And then
they all know it naturally.
Hi-ya, mother father! And then a villain grabber! and then just do like a series of the worst, most fake kung fu punches. So I just decided that everybody in the ghetto knows kung fu. That must be true. So if I ever had to use it, you know, I'm sure I know it because, you
You've never tried it,
in
but
my blood.
You're confident it would be there if
I'm
needed.
Confident. When I would karate chop you in the neck.
Okay.
You mentioned Cloverfield.
Who said that?
You mentioned the Cloverfield. I know you were at the premiere. I saved 91 photos of you from the premiere on my hard drive.
Kind.
But in fact, you put the hard drive, too, if I can be honest.
Oh,
dear God.
What did you think of the movie?
You know, I love J.J. Abrams. I love him. And I like radical filmmaking. I struggle with parts of it, but I like a film that doesn't feel like a big studio film and that feels like they're trying to break some rules.
Yeah.
So I give a movie an A for being original, even if it doesn't succeed, versus like all these big, stinky, like $300 million pieces of crap.
Right.
I'm not going to name any movies about pirates that just kind of, you know what I mean?
I
love Johnny Depp. I think he's amazing. But just like, you know, it was just the same movie three times in a row.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear that. What about Hud, who is the friend of Rob's, who does most of the filming, the guy who's actually carrying the talk about shaky Elmo. How about the shaky camera in that movie?
Right.
And he walks around for an hour and a half saying this. Rob, hey, Rob, hey, Rob, hey, wait up, Rob, hey, Rob, hey, wait up, Rob, hey, Rob.
The movie was improvised, so clearly maybe he needed a coach of some kind to help him ad-lib some new lines.
With his crush, I think.
I'm spending all my time on the internet now because the writer's strike, there's nothing to watch on television. And I just got on MySpace, if my fans out there would like to visit me. I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys are on MySpace, but that is like a freaking full-time job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. Like, who want to be my friend? I want to be your friend. Yeah. Be your friend. And plus, you have to click through on people's pages because you don't know. You can't just add anybody.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because you don't know if they're going to be like a Jackass or, you know, be like a Nickelback fan or something like that. So you really have to make sure that you check.
Are Jackass and Nickelback fan the same group?
They're a different group of people, so there's an overlap. You know what I mean? Like in math, the two circles.
You don't want either of them, though, right?
And then you click through on these pages, and all of a sudden, everybody on MySpace, it's like you get on MySpace, you turn into an amateur pornographer. Why? 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 You know, have you seen that? Where it's like some sweet woman,
and she's
like, oh, I'm Roberta, I'm a mother of four, and I love church and kittens, and here's my photo, and it's like, you know.
Here are my boobs.
Yeah, you know, she's like bent over. Chair, you're like, Roberta, I don't see church or kittens in that photo. Why am I looking at the side of
that's
you?
That's the good kids part of MySpace.
It's bizarre, though.
Well, I know it
is. I don't get it.
What are you looking at me like, Lisa? That's the best part about it.
I'm sure you go through people's friends. I don't go on MySpace.
You go through people's friends, and there's all hot chicks.
It's too much work.
It's porny, too. It's super porny. And the internet, yes, I don't know if you noticed, but the internet itself is like... pretty much for porn.
Kind of porn.
Pretty much for porn.
What are you talking about?
It's like Google and then porn.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's the whole.
And then the Google's just to get you to the porn.
Sure.
So you can search
for the porn.
Exactly. Right. You know, get the good quality porn versus the amateur Roberta with a Polaroid shot aiming for a piece in Beaver Hunt.
Hey, Roberta was hot.
Did I say that on radio?
Yes, I think.
It's too late now.
As long as I don't curse.
Yes.
Well, yes, which I do in the show, by the way. So don't bring your 12-year-old daughter who loves me on Friends.
It's not for kids?
It's really not a kid's not for kids.
Hollywood Improv Friday and Saturday of this week. Brea Improv Thursday. Two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday of next week.
Yes.
Aisha Tyler.
I would just like to suggest before you go that you don't visit us often enough, Ms. Tyler. We would like to see you again soon.
I have to tell you that you guys, first of all, I love you guys. First of all, we go so far back. Mm-hmm. That it's just exciting to still be sitting here with you and not have, you know.
You're shocked we're still alive and able to work, aren't you?
No, I just think it's great that we're both still here and that I haven't, you know, had a baby by my backup dancer. So,
Is that on the way?
It's in the schedule, but, you know, a couple years from now, I'll crack up, have a baby by my backup dancer. And then,
Why do you have a backup dancer?
Well, everybody needs a backup dancer. He just comes with me to like the Trader Joe's and dances around while I'm picking out chicken.
Right.
Ooh, I love chicken. You know, it's just to make me feel Hollywood. You know what I mean?
All right.
And you're dating a paparazzo who takes you to all your child custody hearings, too, right?
And then says inscrutable crap on television. She would never hurt her children.
Yeah, sure.
Tomorrow
and Saturday, Hollywood Improv. Of course, the Brea Improv next week. You can go to improv.com. Tickets are just $20 to see the fabulous Aisha Tyler. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a bargain.
I love you guys.
Thank you, Aisha.
It's exciting to be on a radio station with such smart people. And also a radio station that still plays music in the morning. Very, very exciting.
We got to get back to that.
Yeah. Sorry. That was good. Yeah, all right.
Thank you at 8:48.
Kevin, I know you were dreading the 2 weeks in between the final playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl and then all the hype that accompanies that.
Yeah.
But it'll be here before you know it. Sunday, February 3rd down in Arizona. It's the Super Bowl. It's happening.
I wasn't counting on one of the quarterbacks of the team to be a seventh grade retard. I didn't realize that was coming my way, but it was. Eli Manning.
Does that make it more fun?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? Matter of fact, we have Eli on the phone. Eli Manning.
I'm Eli.
How are you today?
Hi. Hi, I'm Eli.
Right. How are you today?
I'm throw the ball.
You throw the ball. Yes, you do.
I throw it good.
Yes, you do. The last month, that's true.
Super Bowl.
Right.
Super Bowl, right.
Yeah.
Now, Eli, as much of an accomplishment as it is to represent the NFC.
I have no business being in Super Bowl.
That's true.
Well, my question was going to be, how do you feel about, I think the line is something like 2 touchdowns. You're the underdogs against the New England Patriots so far.
I don't feel, mommy said, don't feel the girls that dirty.
What?
I can't feel girls.
Okay.
Daddy Archie said, don't feel the girls.
No.
Okay, but I'm retarded strong.
You are retarded strong.
I hurt them.
That's true.
I'm retarded strong.
Retarded strong is about 3 times a normal human. That is true. I don't know how that works. Hi.
I'm Eli.
Right.
We know.
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10, yes.
Now, I am on. I wear it.
Okay. Now, Eli, does it bother you? The game is on Fox, and it's all American Idol. Ryan Seacrest is going to be doing the red carpet.
Yeah, dog.
Paula Abdul is going to be performing live. Randy Jackson.
Good looking out, dog.
That's Randy Jackson. Yeah, he's going to be there.
American Idol.
Yeah.
I like it.
You like it. Okay. You don't mind that it's taking over the Super Bowl?
What?
You don't mind that it's taking over the Super Bowl? American Idol.
Okay.
Okay.
I think what Kevin's saying is a lot of athletes would prefer the attention be what happens on the field rather than all the bands and all the parades and all the stupid celebrities that show up. It kind of takes away from the game, we think.
I play football.
Right.
Right.
Super Bowl.
You're in the Super Bowl. Yes, Eli.
Hi.
Okay.
All right. Eli, have you gotten any advice from your big brother Peyton, who won the Super Bowl last year with his Colts?
Peyton, mommy said, don't hurt Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton. Uh-oh.
You used to hurt Peyton?
I hurt Peyton.
Oh, that's...
Oh no, I'm retard strong. Yo, Daddy Archie's going to beat me.
Okay.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm Eli. Hi.
Yes, all right, we got to go.
Red carpet.
Right, red carpet. You're happy about that?
I wear red and blue.
Yes, that's the color.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Eli, we got to run.
No Horton, heard a who.
Okay, we got to go, Eli.
Good, Dr. Seuss.
Good luck.
I'm retard strong.
Yeah. Ralph, I know you weren't in here, but we just spoke with Eli Manning, who, of course, has taken his Giants to the Super Bowl. He sounds ready. I think the kid is ready to play. I really do.
Sharpest
I'm very
attack.
Impressed by that.
Nice thing, though. I don't think the pressure's going to get to him.
No.
He won't know where he is.
Seems oblivious. Thinks he's still at home in Indianapolis or wherever they live.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Heath Ledger passed away at the age of 28 years old, and we still know nothing about the cause of death. According to New York City authorities, a preliminary autopsy was performed yesterday, and the medical examiner found no signs of organ failure or dramatic trauma to the body, so it rules out those two possible causes of death. All that's left now is a toxicology report. Everyone's speculating that he took a bad combination of prescription drugs, either intentionally or accidentally, and that's what led to his death. Toxicology report can take 4 to 8 weeks to come back, but they're going to rush this one, in which case we're talking about 2 weeks before we understand anything. So that's your update on that story.
Not so keen about the paparazzi staked out in front of Michelle Williams' house, by the way, waiting to get her crying reaction on camera.
It's been creepy because it happened in the middle of the day, so a lot of celebrities were sort of ambushed with the question at different red carpet events, and Sundance especially. These film crews were staking out the red carpet saying, Heath Ledger just died. How do you feel about that?
Oh.
And they didn't know, and they were rattled, and you could see it in their faces that it's completely inappropriate.
Ugly.
And Charlize Theron burst into tears because she knew the dude, and she like left the screening of some movie she was appearing in at Sundance, and it was just bad stuff going on with
it was inconvenient timing for him to die.
Yeah, it really was.
I think we all know their response pretty
yes.
much. I don't think that question needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Really.
They asked, I believe it was Felicity Huffman, who's in a film in Sundance. Of course, she's on Desperate Housewives, too. Do you have any words for the family? And she's like, I wouldn't presume to say anything to them.
The family's calling each other. Felicity Huffman says it's okay.
Yeah, right. You're going to be all right? What are you going to say?
What does Brittany think? Does anyone know?
Dear God.
It's just been a nightmare. So naturally, because Heath played the Joker in the upcoming Batman movie, The Dark Knight, they had to ask Jack Nicholson what he thought about his death.
Because he played the Joker first?
Yes.
Really?
He played the Joker in the 1989 Batman movie.
Really?
Let's see what the other Joker has to say.
That gives him insight.
And Jack's quote is a weird one. The New York Daily News reports, when asked about his passing on Wednesday, Nicholson said, and I quote, "Well, I warned him."
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I warned him? Really?
Apparently, the two had a conversation, and Jack said that the playing the role of the Joker makes you a little goofy. It's a tough role to play because you're so out there and crazy and insane all the time, it can take its toll on you.
Oh, I see. I thought he knew something about his pill use or
no,
something
I don't
else.
Think it has to do with his drug use. Okay. I think he's just talking about taking on the role. In fact, Heath said in a recent interview that he only slept an average of 2 hours a night while he was playing the Joker.
Dude.
As a result of playing, as he puts it, a psychopathic, mass-murdering, schizophrenic clown with zero empathy. I couldn't stop thinking. My body was exhausted, but my mind kept going.
Wow.
So, sounds like not so much fun playing the Joker.
Yeah.
Any comment from the family of Cesar Romero?
No word from them.
Is that the guy that played the Joker in the 40s?
No.
Whenever it was?
The 60s. The classic
whisperer.
Batman TV show,
he's
Cesar Romero.
That's
the
right, the
classic
whisperer.
Joker interpretation. Mm. Who didn't find it hard at all to play the Joker because I think he was drunk most of the time.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I did a recently, last hour, in fact, I did a list of the top 10 movie weapons of all time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a lot of people have a lot of problems with that list.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff they left
talk
out.
About. Some of the things on there, like the lightsaber, of course, the Death Star, Robin Hood's bow and arrow.
See, that's gay. Take that right off.
That. The bowler hat, Oddjob hat, and Goldfinger that he used to whack people with, Indiana Jones bullwhip. A lot of people had problems with this. This comes from Casey. What about the Ghostbusters gun?
Oh, don't cross the streams.
Don't cross the streams.
That's right.
Something bad will happen. What about the Tron disc weapon that everyone had in built into their chests? Yeah, it was pretty cool, too.
Sure.
Another listener, Todd, writes, how can they not mention the most iconic movie weapon of all time, Freddy Krueger's knife finger gloves?
Sure.
So we might have to talk to some people and see what their favorite
Omar
movie
came in and said, what
time.
About Dirk Diggler's penis? I didn't think about that as a
yeah,
weapon.
I didn't
but,
think about that either.
All right. It's a good one.
A lot of email votes for the wood chipper in Fargo as a terrific weapon.
Oh, like yeah. That's good.
And lastly, producers have revealed the title of the new James Bond movie.
Oh, great.
The new James Bond movie, the 22nd in the Bond series.
We wish the Striders right. We wish the writer's strike would end? Is that the name of it? Sorry.
Needless to say, we're going to need that piece of tape there.
Yes.
Psycho Mike.
Come on, people. You know what I mean.
Daniel Craig returns as Agent 007 in Quantum of Solace.
What?
Worst James Bond title ever.
That can't really be the title.
Quantum of Solace.
That must be something to throw us off.
That has to be something
the
to throw us
title,
off.
The new title, Quantum of Solace.
That answer is... False.
False, yeah.
Doesn't really hang so much with Live and Let Die and Diamonds Are Forever and Tomorrow Never Dies. And
there's no way that'll end up being the title.
I'm telling you, that's they say.
I know, but there's
is.
No way it'll end up being
Quantum
that.
Of Solace sounds like a role-playing game Roland plays with his nerd friends in the basement of the AV
yep.
center at high school.
Hurry up, we have to play Quantum of Solace. I want to be the elf with the magical sword.
Quantum you do a pretty good Roland, by the way.
Yeah, he's been on the show for a long time.
Wow.
Hanging out with him. Today's celebrity birthdays are as follows. Misha Barton from The O.C. is 22 years old today. Tatiana Ali, who played Ashley on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, turns 29. I haven't seen her lately. I'd like to.
I know.
Because she was hot.
That's true.
Matthew Lillard from the Scooby-Doo movies, also Scream. He is 38 years old today. Neil Diamond, legendary singer-songwriter Neil Diamond, turns 67. He still
got
it. His
show was great when you saw it, right, Ralph?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
I'm sorry, I thought we were talking about Neil Diamond.
I dragged my wife to Neil Diamond a couple of years ago, and like many spouses, she had no interest in going whatsoever. She's like, I don't care. He's old. I don't like any of his songs. I said, trust me, you got to see him. And she walked out of there a convert. She was amazed at how great he was.
She went to a convent? That's crazy. What is she doing? She's being a nun for?
Get away from
convert.
Me.
Convert.
Neil's new album, by the way, Quantum of Solace.
Is it really?
Be on. In stores everywhere, dropping next week.
Excellent.
Worst name ever, Quantum of Solace. Quantum. It sounds like a book L. Ron Hubbard would write, The Quantum of Solace.
That's Ralph at krock.com.
What are, are people going to attack us through the email? Do you understand how email
I want
works?
People to know who said that because I don't want to get attacked.
Right, so you could say, that's Ralph that said that. Not you.
How to get a hold of him.
Giving out my email address.
How to get a hold of him. I want them to know. That's all.
Doto was going to shoot Mike through the email yesterday. Very weird. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Producers have revealed the title of the new James Bond movie.
We wish the Striders We wish the writer's strike would end. Is that the name of it? Sorry. Come on.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How fast are we turning those around now?
Pretty fast.
Wish the Striders Eli Manning was on the other side.
I was ready to play as I said it. How does that happen?
This is why Kevin's awesome, because the president of the United States, he ebbs and flows. He doesn't give you continuous gold like Kevin does. Kevin never lets up. Like, every day he's dependable. You can count on him for a new moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Let's talk about American Idol, shall we? We're still in the Bad Singers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Last night they were in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'll tell you, the South will not rise again.
Was that right?
They are done. They are finished.
They're out?
We finished them off pretty much in the Civil War. Yeah, they're not coming back.
All right.
There are some effed up people down there. First, I want you to meet Randy and Crystal. They sang as a couple.
Oh, I like this.
Randy is one of the main guys on the AmericanIdol.com message boards. He's one of the guys who runs the message board.
Okay. That scares me.
And everyone sort of kowtows to him as the expert in American Idol and the audition process. He gives a lot of advice on how to audition and how to get all the way through to Hollywood.
Good.
And he met his girlfriend on the internet when she was on the message boards.
Okay.
They decided to meet in person for the first time at this audition in South Carolina.
They had never met each other.
They had an online relationship, an online love affair, and they met each other for the first time. They decided they would meet at an American Idol.
Wow.
Audition.
Yeah, they're living in different states. I think one's in Texas and one's in South Carolina, so this is their big opportunity
to
get together.
It's a good
Randy
choice.
And Crystal just can't keep their hands off each other now that they've met. They're just very, very much in love. And she just thinks the world of him, as you can tell.
Pretty well known as one of the gurus on there, giving out advice and tips and suggestions.
Master Yoda, take you to Simon, he will.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
How are they not playing with lightsabers in the park over in Culver City?
Wow.
These two geeks.
I'm pretty much known as guru.
The guru. Well, if he's the guru and he knows all things expertise when it comes to auditioning, it should be clear sailing for him through to Hollywood,
right? Should be a breeze.
Absolutely. Sure. Everything was going well until he started to sing.
Uh-oh.
I like blue eyes, hers are brown. She's not the girl I dreamed about. And she's not as tall as I had planned. 5'1" isn't tall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's not as tall as I had planned.
That song?
Apparently it is.
Song?
Yes.
So they put him through?
Not so much.
Not so much.
No, the guru did not get through.
Did he go and just flame the internet with on his message board? I'm so mad!
Bogus! I'm going over to Moment of Truth website and message board now. Speaking of songs, I don't know, but are very popular. Is a country song about a girl who gets cheated on, goes, right now, they're probably hanging out with the
Carrie Underwood. Yep.
Carrie Underwood has this song.
Before He Cheats.
Big pop hit, too.
It's a pop hit, too?
It was a top 10 pop single also,
from
Carrie Underwood.
Well, anyway, apparently it's a very popular song with the American Idol contestants, as you can imagine, because Carrie Underwood was one of the winners of one of the seasons of this.
So they think if I do her song, I'm guaranteed.
Exactly.
Good thinking.
This young lady thought that mistakenly.
Because the next time when he cheats, it ain't going to be on me.
Okay.
I'm going to take a look at the slug and I'm going to take it and best shot. He don't know who he messing with, cause he ain't no good. I'ma sell all his car, cause he hurt my heart. Woo!
She was so happy by the time she was done.
Are those anywhere near the words? Because they can't be.
She was ad-libbing.
She was definitely ad-libbing.
She was riffing.
I don't think you want to be the person when Paula tries to cut you off. She's the only nice one on the show, isn't she?
I don't think you want to go and just freestyle either. Just kind of make up your own songs and go along randomly. It doesn't seem to be the best idea.
Wow.
You know what also is a bad idea? Singing the song, I'm Telling You I'm Not Going, from Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Unless you're a big old fat black girl.
Yeah.
Those are the only people who should be allowed to sing that song.
That's the one she won the Oscar for, right?
Jennifer Hudson won the Oscar for playing that role in the movie. Jennifer Holliday famously played it on Broadway, made her a big star. But that's the big show-stopping number in that song where she sings.
As Randy has often said on American Idol, there are some songs that have just done been sung, and it's best to leave them alone.
So you shouldn't sing that song. You especially shouldn't sing that song if you're a big fat black dude.
Oh, good.
Because it just seems weird when you're talking about not going and how much you're going to love this guy and everything. It just makes people uncomfortable, especially when you're really bad.
Now,
Joshua chose this as his audition song, and Joshua is the quintessential dude who comes out afterwards and saying, you're going to see more of me.
You made a big mistake.
I'm going to play you his song. It's a little long, but it's worth it. And then we'll hear several different times where he stopped and told the camera what a big mistake American Idol made.
And I am telling you, I'm not going.
What the?
Even though the rough times are showing, no, there's no way, no, no, no way. And you, you're gonna love me. Yeah. You're gonna love me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Jaw-dropping.
Wow.
And Randy really tried to spare his feelings and said, I just don't think you have a good enough voice for this competition. Well, that's where it started.
I don't have a good voice?
It ain't good enough.
Well, guess what? Y'all should never ever come to South Carolina. This is what you're going to get.
Joshua, you've got a great attitude.
This show is fake and rigged.
What did you say?
Fake and rigged because I can sing.
It's fake and rigged.
It's fake and rigged?
If they don't take in, the show is rigged.
Wow. Clearly.
That's what I said this year. The NFL is rigged if the Eagles aren't in the Super Bowl.
Right, because they deserve it because you won it.
Because they're the best team. They're right. Fake and rigged. Well, it goes on and on and on about him saying, if you come to South Carolina, this is as good as you're going to get. This is as good as it's going to be for you.
Sure.
Anyway, here's what he said outside.
I did not make it. They say I can't sing. They say nobody here can sing basically in South Carolina.
So no, they didn't say that, did they?
Yeah, they said they have no talent in South Carolina. It's been on every news station that South Carolina sucks.
What? That Kennedy kid raped a bitch on TV.
What is he talking about?
He's completely making something up. They said no one in South Carolina has any talent.
He said that.
I know, this but he the said that they get. Said it.
Wow.
And they said on television that South Carolina sucks. He's just making stuff up now. This guy kept going and going. Finally, they followed him outside, and this was my favorite part.
My talent is too big for this competition to hold.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to be the next American Idol, really. I'm looking to be the next World Idol. So guess what? The joke is on them. They won't have the best artists that made it off American Idol.
If you don't have the best artists, you really can't expect to have a show that people are going to watch.
The joke is on them.
You got to find the best artists.
That's true. Sure.
And I've always found that. And he is quite the artist.
I love him.
Well,
we'll see him again, Kevin. You have the opportunity to worship him because he's going to be a big star, apparently.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And when he comes on that World Idol show, that's going to be great.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. Who's the K-Rock listener that tipped us off to a great new phone service that we were not aware of?
Joey Amaya sent Ralph an email that said, "Hey, Ralph, what's up? Just want to let you know about this 800 number that my girlfriend calls for her horoscope. Mm-hmm. They have other options like playing blackjack with a celebrity, and the celebrity is Sean Connery."
No kidding.
I don't know why or how this came about, but I decided we might as well go in the other room and try it. So this is, I called the line, and this is me playing blackjack with Sean Connery. Again, I don't know why they have this option, but they do.
Welcome to blackjack. Okay, let's play. Shuffling, you would dealt the king of clovers and the jack of hearts for a total of 20. The dealer is showing the five of diamonds. Say yes for another card or no to stay.
Stay.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that.
Stay.
You win. You kick booty. Would you like to play again?
No.
You kick booty.
Oh, my God. See, I would think you wouldn't get a star as big as Sean Connery to ever agree to do something like this. That's a real surprise to me.
It is.
Is it a 24-hour? I mean, can you call any time?
It is. It's 800-555-8355. And then they come on and they say, you have a lot of options. You want to talk sports. You want stock tips or whatever. And you just say blackjack and it goes right to Sean Connery.
Can we play now? I mean, is it the type of thing we could just call up and do live?
800.
I totally want to hear what this is like. That's awesome.
8355.
Okay.
Main menu. Here are all the categories you can choose from. Business search.
Blackjack.
All right. Blackjack.
Welcome to blackjack. Okay. Let's play. Shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
You've been dealt the 10 of spades.
Okay.
And the 8 of hearts.
Ooh, gotta hold.
The dealer is showing a 10. If you'd like another card, say yes. If you'd like to stand, say no.
No.
Yeah, we gotta stand on 18, yeah. Right?
Sure.
Come on, you Do you have no balls whatsoever?
No, you have to hold on an 18.
I've got 20, you
What's going on with this?
What is wrong with you?
Is this really Sean Connery?
If you're not going to play the game, just go suck a...
No, listen. All of the rule books for blackjack say you get an 18, you hold no matter what.
All right, have it your way.
All right.
Okay. Oh, look, I have 20. You lose.
Oh, my God.
What a surprise. Eat my...
How are we being schooled by a recording? I don't understand how this is happening.
Don't
this is amazing.
Talk to me. I'm pre-recorded.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Would you like to play again?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Shuffling.
All right.
You've been dealt the 10 of, let's say, diamonds.
Are you making this up?
And the 5 of hearts.
Okay, I got a hit.
Okay, 50.
You have 50. Yeah. Wait to hear what I have.
I know. I know how to play. Go ahead.
Pull your head out of your f-
Okay, listen.
Wait to see what cards I have before you start saying things.
This is a very
sucker.
Very specific recording, isn't it?
Shut the up.
All right, I have a 15. Go ahead.
I've got 21. You.
You didn't even deal the cards.
Doesn't matter. Go yourself. I beat your ass.
Come on, Sean. Give
Bend
me a...
over and spread your cheeks.
Give me one
oh,
more chance.
Wow.
If you'd like me to with a condom, press 1.
All right.
If you'd like to just carry my in your press 2.
Okay, this
never
is...
mind. I think I'm out.
You piece of
All right, I'm out. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's time to take your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
Usually you call us toll-free. We hook you up with a prize. Today, two prizes. A pair of tickets to the sold-out Monster Jam this Saturday at Angel Stadium of Anaheim, along with a pair of lift passes to Mountain High. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Isaac. He's calling from... I'm sorry, Mike. I can't see. What's the name of the city he's calling from?
Santa Monica!
Nicely done. Hi, Isaac.
What it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, just got back from Paris that you guys sent me to. Just wanted to thank you for the trip.
Oh,
you were the Linkin Park in Paris World Tour winner?
Yeah, I got back yesterday.
How
so
was
still
it?
A little jet lag. It was epic. But Bean, you're right. The problem with France is the French people.
French people,
yeah. Too many goddamn French people.
Yeah.
They're douchebags.
I agree.
But you had fun. You enjoyed the show?
Show was epic besides for the French people. But
sure.
It was absolutely awesome.
When you got to the airport, did they not have your name or hotel? Did they not recognize anything go wrong?
At the concert, our tickets were will call, and they wouldn't tell us where they were, and we had backstage passes and stuff. By the time we had gotten them, it was over. So,
excellent.
I mean, they
okay, good.
They kind of screwed us. So
we want to make sure something goes wrong because it's not really a K-Rock trip if it all goes smoothly. Right.
So, yes.
You're welcome.
It was awesome. I really appreciate it.
Hey, dude, send us – I'm sure you got a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower or something. Send it to us so that we can put it up on the website, right?
That I will do.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You know, my wife is going to Paris later this year with a bunch of people. Not me.
Not you.
Yeah.
That's always the case
what
with you.
What a surprise.
It goes without saying.
Going with
it?
Psycho Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go to
the Eiffel Tower.
That's right.
Give her an Eiffel of your tower.
You know what I'm saying?
Steve in Westminster. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What to do?
What to do?
What to do?
Hey, so I was watching this Moment of Truth last night. Right.
Boo.
You know,
it was a lie detector show, right?
Boo.
Yeah, this movie or this show should be called "What Is the Value of Your Marriage?" Because the bottom line is, these people who are on there, they're dooming their relationship altogether.
Absolutely,
no way. You should see. I mean, if you watched it last night, you could see the turmoil in his poor wife.
Yeah, and she was hot, wasn't she?
She was unbelievably hot.
Yeah,
and you could see the knots building in her stomach. She was.
Yeah.
There was no way this marriage would continue for another 6 months.
We played clips way earlier this morning. He admitted to doing things that she should be worried about.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Which make him untrustworthy.
Right. What was the other thing that he admitted doing?
That she may not be his life partner, and
right.
That's why he's putting off
wanted
having
to wait
kids.
On kids because he wasn't sure. She was the one. He's been married for 2 years.
And he lied
Have
about
ever touched anybody inappropriately at work or something like that.
And he lied about that. He's a personal trainer, and he touched women more than he had to. And he lied about it and got nothing. So all that happened to him, he got nothing.
It's crazy. So they should do another spinoff show about what happens to these couples 1 week after the show and even 6 months after.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I think we know
the
answer to that couple.
And here's why you can't root for these people either, because they've asked them all these questions beforehand.
Right.
Before they get on the show. So these aren't catching them by surprise. If someone asked me that in a pre-interview, I'd be like, well, I'm not going on this show because I'm going to have to answer that question.
Right.
Right.
And they still had about 10 more questions to go, and they got more personal each time. There's no way these people would ever want $1 million. I don't think.
It's interesting. Because we had Mark Wahlberg, the host of the show, on with us a couple of weeks ago, and we asked him, why would anyone risk their marriage and national embarrassment by going on a show like this? He says, you can't believe how many people want to do it. And they know ahead of time, like Ralph said, before they sit down in front of that camera, they know what it's going to entail, yet they still do it. That's how strong the draw of cash is, I guess.
Second dude had the worst hairpiece ever.
Yeah, the second dude that said that he put towels or socks or something in his pants to make his junk look bigger.
No. Right. Yeah.
He said yes, kidding? And it was true.
Oh yeah.
And he had the worst hairpiece ever.
He did. It was
and
the
they
worst.
Asked him, are you now a member of the Hair Club for Men? And he knew that question was coming, and he still had put himself up for the public ridicule.
That's awesome. All right, let's go to Olivia in Los Angeles. We were talking about this U2 concert in 3D. It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Olivia, you already saw it?
Yeah, it's really awesome. I was very happy, and you guys should check it out.
A long U2 fan?
Very much.
Him? Them?
What is a long U2 fan? What does that even mean?
Long time.
She's tall.
Is it in a lot of theaters, or is it...
I think it's certain IMAX theaters.
IMAX? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Shut up, Ralph. What's wrong with you?
What did your country do?
I didn't say that now. You can't go back to old questions to mock me. What's wrong with you?
Are you a long U2 fan?
For a long U2 fan.
You all know what I meant.
Now, is going to see the U2 concert movie in 3D, is that as good as or better than seeing them in person?
I think it's good as. I felt like I was there.
As good as.
Wow.
And I actually went to the last one, though, that they had.
You went to the last U2 show, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I think was about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was like 8 months pregnant, so...
Oh, okay, excellent.
That's irrelevant. Thanks for the call, though. We appreciate 3D. It.
Yeah, exactly. What are they doing in 3D concert? You too. Edge, like, puts the guitar out and goes, bloop, bloop,
it pokes you in the eye with it.
Scares you.
Let's talk to Chewy in the LBC, because I was watching a little bit of this my own self yesterday, and he's right. Chewy, what'd it do?
Dude, what'd it do? I'm so right. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Chewy.
You're right about what?
Dude, the tennis is on TV right now.
Tennis is on TV.
Tennis,
oh, yeah.
Australian Open. The Australian Open, they got all these Russian chicks play. If you haven't seen
oh,
it,
girls. Oh, I see. Okay.
Girls play the girls.
Sure. Yeah.
Haven't,
yeah. Doing well.
Haven't really seen that.
Yesterday, they had Maria Sharapova, who was on, who, by the way, I swear to God, she's so unbelievably hot. When she's on the sideline and she's drinking like Gatorade, in your mind, it translates into watching her drink it in slow motion. I mean, it's just everything she does is so hot. And the girl she was playing had an unbelievable body, too. I mean, it was really one of the best hours I've ever spent in front of a TV.
This is like the Dancing with the Stars argument.
Yeah.
Oh, hot chicks, hot chicks. I don't have to watch tennis to see hot chicks.
But they're sweaty also, Ralph.
Right, Listen to me.
There's grunting.
No, stop. What,
there's grunting.
And boy, does she grunt. Boy, is she loud.
They both grunt.
Why do you need to watch clothed women, kind of sweaty, playing tennis 40 feet apart from each other when you can walk down to any store and buy porno and watch chicks kissing naked and doing really bad stuff to
really
each other.
Grunting.
I can tell you, Mike, I got your answer.
Yes.
You just got recently married. I've been married for 9 years.
Okay.
I have children that are teenagers.
Okay.
They're always home. It's hard to knock it out. So what I do when the chicks play the chick, I crank the heck out of the TV.
Wait.
So first off, my kids are watching it and they're going, this is boring. They take off to their room. Okay, cool. They're gone. So I got the TV all cranked up. All you hear is, So I take mama in the bedroom and I get me a Tuesday afternoon snack.
Okay, Chewy, easy.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chewy's bringing it today.
You've just described the most pathetic life I've ever heard, by the way.
Right. You have to run your kids off by putting something on TV.
You gotta pitch
and then
a pup tent to some the Australian Open tentus. Tennis.
When you got kids, you'll be thinking of ways to get it in the middle.
All right,
I'm going to show them how it's done.
Take it easy, dude. Take
Lock
it easy.
The kids in the basement where they belong and just... Torque one out.
I believe Chewy is a long tennis fan, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's show. Of course, especially our good pal, Dr. Drew Pinsky, for joining us. Celebrity Rehab on VH1 with a new episode tonight at 10. Of course, same time you'll hear him on Loveline here on KROQ. That's the thing about Dr. Drew. He's always on two media outlets at the same time,
always.
No matter what time of the day or night it is. Also, thanks to the great Gene Simmons, Lisa May's next husband. He, of course, just got fired from the Celebrity Apprentice, but that returns tonight at 9 on NBC. Thanks to the beautiful and talented Aisha Tyler. You ought to go see her at the Hollywood Improv. It's worth $20 just to look at her on stage for an hour. That'll be tomorrow night and Saturday night next weekend at the Brea Improv. And, of course, thanks to the great Eli Manning, the quarterback for the New York Giants, too. Always great when he carves out some time to talk to us on the program.
He's retard strong, though,
you know. He sure is.
Tomorrow morning, Brock Lesnar, UFC 81.
Speaking of strong.
Guy is a mountain.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Who's going to beat this guy? Who?
Nobody.
I don't think anyone. I don't know.
So either.
Who's he fighting?
Doesn't matter.
Frank.
Okay.
He could fight three of them.
What's his last name?
Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank from the Jimmy
Kimmel Show. That's right.
Also tomorrow morning, it's Movie Beat. Ralph will tell us about Rambo, which looks like maybe the best movie ever. None of us have seen it, but we think it's going
to
be good.
You know, when you're pushed. Kill him as easy as breathing.
That's what I hear. And we're going to do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to Australia to see Jack Johnson tomorrow morning at 7:20.
Cool.
Do we have time before we go for the new moment with Kevin?
No.
I'd like to end us on a positive note.
I think we have time.
So it's quick.
The
it's pretty fast.
New one? The long YouTube fan?
Oh, no. The second oldest. The second newest one from an hour ago. That's the one I want.
Sure. I felt like I was slacking off a little bit.
It
you
comes
guys were
so fast
enough.
And furiously, it's hard to keep track.
All right. I don't think
And
I
now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Producers have revealed the title of the new James Bond movie.
We wish the Striders right.
Oh.
We wish the writer's strike would end. Is that the name of it? Sorry.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Don't ever be sorry, by the way, little buddy. Don't ever be sorry when you do that.
I'm Gilligan now?
That's right.
The band is called Armor for Sleep. Their song Hold the Door is coming up here on K-Rock. Also, Smashing Pumpkins, Paralyzer by Finger 11, Linkin Park, Cake, Bad Religion, and more. It's all with Kat Corbett in 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock next.